listening to Nowhere Mulberry, film, television, pop culture. It's where you find
in the same place as the others. Turns out they were all missing their gallbladders.
Who cares?
Well, it was recently discovered that the gallbladder secretes a chemical called RUX40, or crepitin. This guy's crepitin level should have been off the charts, but there was none found in his body.
Let me see that. All right, let me get a look at his penis.
Excuse me?
Yeah, I'd like to see his penis too, please.
Oh my God. You guys are creeps.
Hey, you know another tune, man?
Hey,
man. Okay, get in your left lane, man.
What?
Get in your left lane.
Left?
Right.
Right. Oh, right. Okay.
No, your left lane, man.
You said right.
What are you doing, man? 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 What are you
I know what's happening, man. You ain't dressed right. That's why you ain't getting no respect.
Charlie Babbitt, I'll hold.
Fart.
Did you fart, Ray?
Fart.
Did you fucking fart?
Fart.
Oh, man. How can you stand that?
I don't mind it.
How can you stand it?
Panthers gonna play extreme! Westerby gonna cry and scream! Panthers gonna get diabolical! Hold on. Like Tom Cruise gets Scientological!
Hey, man. Hey, what do you got? Hey, give me some.
What?
Hey, give me a drink, man. Come on, man. Give me a drink.
For this?
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead, man. Help yourself.
Wait a minute. Hey, man, that's pee.
No kidding.
What are you doing with pee?
It's for my probation officer, man.
What, does he drink pee?
Nah, man. Last week I was supposed to bring some in, you know?
Yeah?
And I forgot to wash out the jar first, you know? So they see all that mayonnaise floating around in here and they think I'm on some kind of weird drug again.
Right.
I'm really going to fuck with his mind this time, man.
Well, what'd you do?
I have my sister pee in it.
Yeah?
Yeah, she's pregnant, man.
Right.
Yeah. Can I offer you some ginger ale?
I'll take a light beer, domestic, frosted mug.
I'll have some lactate and sliced banana.
I have ginger ale.
That'll be fine.
Oh, thank you very much.
Hey, everyone.
It is Friday, sir. It's time for Nowhere in Mulberry, a very serious show about film, television, and pop culture. I'm your host, The Jaystrom. I do not do the show alone, though. I do it with three other people. They are, to my left, Stephen, the pop culture zealot. How's it going, Stephen?
How's it going?
Laura, the NIM fitness guru.
What's up?
And Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry historian. How you doing, Bill?
Who's that? I have no idea what you're talking about.
I couldn't stay in the serious voice for that long. I tried.
I'm honored that I get the goofy voice.
You're welcome, sir. Welcome, everybody. It's time for another one of those shows where we just talk for a long time. And when we're done, I'm exhausted.
And hungry.
I need a foot massage and a breakfast burrito when the show's over. I don't know why, but that's
they
just
serve
what I
breakfast
want.
Burritos.
Oh,
at
yeah.
That time?
Oh
at,
yeah.
At 11:30 they start.
Really? Is this who are you talking about? McDonald's?
Like Whataburger?
Whataburger.
Oh, yeah. See, we don't got Whataburger.
Or a Jack in the Box.
We don't got Jack in the Box.
Jack in the Box is hit and miss. Sometimes you can get one, and it's just like, whoever made this was not. They didn't love their craft.
They got a new breakfast pita pocket that's pretty good.
Oh, yeah, those are good. But
there's
like
a McDonald's just down the road from here. It's the closest one to where I live. And if you don't go there at peak hours, like 3 to 5 and then like 11 to 1, and you get cardboard garbage.
Yeah. You know, actually, the Jack in the Box, I go to one that's further from my house. Because I know this one lady is working there that's there every Friday, and she
and
makes
she
the breakfast. She makes the breakfast food perfect. But if I go to the one next to my house, it's some teenager who probably did something, spit in it, something. And
those
I'm not going to
bastards.
Yeah. But hey, everybody,
no,
welcome
I just
to the
hate
show.
The heat lamp food. That's
oh
that's
yeah,
the
that
worst.
Sucks. But hey, Laura, you know the contest ended. I know it's
and she won, right?
No, I did not.
Well, you won in our eyes.
Aww. Yeah. What were the results?
Tube top girl won.
Tube top girl won.
The one, and yeah. That's the one that just runs around. She doesn't do anything in the video. She just runs in circles.
Yeah, pretty much. I think the tube top won it for.
That's probably it.
I wasn't even paying attention to it. I was just like, "What the hell? This is not exercise."
No, what place did you come in? Or do you
fourth?
Care? Fourth place. That's not bad, Laura.
No.
It just
no,
you,
it really
you know,
isn't. But the votes got screwed,
especially with them having to start over.
Yeah, and what sucks is you had like over 2,000 votes, and then when it started over, you had like what was the finishing vote like
400 something. I was just happy that I broke 400 because I wasn't asking anyone to vote anymore.
Yeah, I know.
I just, continued to do it. I
voted for you.
I appreciate that.
Yes, I think we all.
But Laura,
even me.
Hey, it was fun while it lasted, and thanks everybody for supporting Laura and voting for her. Maybe next time. You know, we tried to do that contest type thing once with the podcasting awards.
Yeah.
And it's just like when it was over, it's just like, man, what a pain in the ass. We never
that's
got
an exercise in futility.
What you win is a laptop desk. And I was like, I don't
laptop desk?
Yeah.
I wasn't even sure what it was. Like, is it
I don't own
it's
a
like
laptop.
A TV, it's like a TV tray.
Yeah.
I was going to say, are like $20.
If I had a laptop desk, right. I guarantee, it's funny you say that, Stephen. If I had a laptop desk, I guarantee you I'd be eating food off of it.
That's what I do with all, I have a number of them, and they're called TV trays.
Yeah. It's like, all right, this is perfect, man.
They have the little slide-out tray to put your mouse on the side.
It's funny.
Oh,
I actually
that's fancy.
This is that's for your drink.
I have a certain
that's a drink holder. Now.
I have a throw pillow on the couch that's actually my table. Like I set it on my belly, and then my food goes on top of the pillow.
Yeah, I'm it's in awesome. That point where I can actually eat food off my stomach, and it's not good.
And it's you know my Heather always says stop wasting paper towels because it would drive you nuts too, but. I use paper towels as my placemat. Like, I need, like, four paper towels folded.
So you're anal.
And then I set my my plate on it. Exactly.
You would never have guessed that about him.
Why don't you just use a plate?
I do use a plate.
Why don't you use a placemat?
Why not just a plate? Why do you need a placemat? What is this?
It catches the
French high-class restaurants?
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Hey, welcome to the shade.
Because I don't use...
have a lovely bagel pizza.
I don't use the... I don't even use that as a napkin either. I have more paper towels. That's my
wow.
napkin.
Well,
so,
you
buy them at Costco?
You never can have too many napkins, am I right?
I guess not.
I think we've told the story before that I worked with Jason, and we worked in a frame shop, and I have tools laying out that I'm working with. I go help a customer, come back.
That's completely different, though.
Come back, and everything's cleaned up and put away.
I tend to clean a lot. Yeah. I'm going to say I wasn't like that until that job, though. It made something inside me snap.
I work clean!
Hey, you know what's funny is I want to talk to you guys about, just briefly about the plumbing thing that happened last week. During the show, I had no idea, but I had a leak in our house, and you guys left, and I was, you know, everybody went to bed. I was stayed up a little too late, and I was walking into the room, and there was a little round spot in the hallway, and I was like, what the hell? And did somebody spill something? And I could feel water there. And I was like,
sneak in my house and urinate?
I was like completely exhausted where my brain wasn't functioning anymore. I mean, I was exhausted and I was like, what the hell is leaking? And so I went and I turned the water on the toilet off. And I was like, it's probably that. It's leaking or something. I don't know what the hell. So I went to bed and the next day you could see more water. I was like, where the hell is it coming from? And it turned out to be the kitchen sink. Like, you know how, like if you look under the sink, some sinks now, they don't have a pipe going to the faucet. It's like a water hose type looking tube.
Yeah, it's like a netted tube.
Yeah, and where the connector was, it was leaking. And it was actually, you could see a little, like, where it was shooting. And actually, when I opened the cabinet, I could feel the mist on my face. I was like, oh, shit. So I was like, I wonder if it's just loose. And I went to touch it, and it goes clink, and just broke off. And water was going... It was like, shit. I had to grab a pitcher, and as I'm holding it, it's going. So I'm like,
got that magic touch.
And I'm trying to crank it, you know, clockwise to turn it off, and I've got it completely torqued off, and it won't turn off. So I'm like I'm switching between two different pitchers, filling it up, and I'm trying to tighten it, and it just won't turn off. So I don't know what to do at that point. And, I'm like telling Heather, get out of bed. Come here. I need help. And I was like, find a plumber or something. And what's funny is when I thought it was the toilet earlier, I called plumbers and they were all backed up apparently because of the winter.
When you thought it was the toilet, they were all backed up.
Well, apparently because of the cold winter, a lot of people's pipes have burst and stuff. Yeah. They're like, we can't get out to your house till Monday. And I'm like, okay. It's kind of an emergency. And they were like, just shut off the water and everything will be okay. This is when I thought it was a toilet. So afterwards, when it's the sink, I already know I can't get a plumber out here. But anyway, to make a long story short, finally a plumber came out here and fixed it. But it was about 3 hours later of me switching the water, two pitchers of water, like every 30 seconds. Like
for 3 hours.
And it was hot water too, by the way. I had no idea.
I was in the grocery store whenever you texted me like, there's a leak.
And yeah, I was like, I know you have to go outside and shut the water off, but I don't know how. And also, I don't have time to because I've got to switch it every 30 seconds. So I told Heather, I go, screw the plumber. Call, you know, the water department has an emergency number. Just call them and they'll come out and, you know.
At the meter. Just turn it off at the meter.
And they even told her, you know, well, that's something you need a plumber. And she goes, no, you don't understand. The hot water is running. We're wasting water. It's just water running out everywhere. If we didn't keep filling up buckets, it would just go flood our house. And they're like, oh, okay, we'll send somebody out. We'll send someone right out, which means an hour later. And the guy even goes, hey, I came out as soon as they called me about 15 minutes ago. It's like, it's been an hour. So they don't go, hey, let me call someone. They're like, well, after I eat this sandwich, I'm going to call somebody.
Eat my candy bar and have my soda.
Man, this new Wendy's fish sandwich sure is delicious.
So I jokingly said to Heather, I go, last night I sit on a cupcake and then today this? What the hell happened? How do I turn my luck around? And then all of a sudden the guy
cupcake
showed up.
Sitter.
he turned the water off, and then the plumber called, hey, I'll be right out. And then another plumber called from earlier, hey, it turns out we can't come out. And I was like, hey, everything's turning around. It's going to be okay. Thank God.
They just want to take my money.
So then later on that day, I bought a wet vac, and I was like vacuuming up water, which I'd never done before. I thought it's kind of cool how that works.
It's except, like ass backwards. Like, this is so wrong.
Except
yes,
when you
so
open
right.
the thing and look at the water, it's
yeah,
really
you don't
disgusting.
Want to look at the water.
It's really
oh,
gross.
Yeah. Ugh.
But anyway, there wasn't bad water damage or whatever. And you can buy those little, there are these little things at the store. I don't know what the hell you call it right now. I can't remember. It's a little bucket, and you pour this. Like white sand type stuff, and it absorbs moisture. Mm-hmm. And then after a day or whatever, or, you know, 24 hours, you can open up and dump the water out. Just the molecules out of the air or something. I don't know how it works. But I got some of those and put them under the sink in the bathroom and the kitchen or whatever. So that's pretty neat. But anyway, yeah, that's my plumbing story. Saturday was a shitty day, I thought. But it ended up being okay eventually. Oh, and Bill, I started playing Batman Arkham Asylum.
Rock on.
I've had that for how long? You sent it to me for...
about a year.
Maybe a birthday or something last year?
I think Amazon had a special on it where it was like $30. And I was like, man, I love this game too much not to share the love. And
I think Red Dead Redemption or something came out around the same time where it just got ignored.
Yeah.
Until yesterday. I was like, you know, been watching The Cape and superheroes, and you've been playing the DC Online Universe, and I was like...
Yeah, the DC Universe Online, yeah. And it's fun. Last night I played it for like another 3 hours and got up to level 10 and chose an iconic power, which is the Superman Heat Vision, and defeated Queen Bee and a couple other villains.
And I remember what made me want to play a superhero game was I watched on Netflix, they had the Superman Shazam cartoon on there.
Shazam!
It's like, you know, straight to DVD or whatever, but they put it on Netflix. What's really cool, there's a lot of DC movies on there. And I watched the...
And they're good.
Yeah, they are. I was watching the Shazam one with Superman. I thought it was really badass. It's only like, I don't know, what is it, like 30 minutes long or 15 minutes long? I don't know. But it was really cool and entertaining. It's like, I want to play a game where I'm a superhero. And I was like, that Batman game. So I started playing it, and it's really cool. Like, the voice acting and everything and the animation. It's like top-notch.
And it's really deep. I love how you can actually, as you go through the game, you find different areas and you collect Riddler questions, and then you can there's another thing where if you do the investigation every once in a while on a wall, you'll see this spider symbol, and if you take a picture of it, it expands on the story of Arkham Asylum and the guy that created it, and it gets really deep into the backstory.
You can find like audio tape interviews of the different villains and stuff.
Yeah.
And those are entertaining.
And a lot of them are audio interviews done by, or a couple of them are done by Harley Quinn before she became Harley Quinn.
Oh, really? I didn't realize that. That's cool.
Yeah. I think there's a whole series of them where she's interviewing the Joker, and it's whenever she, like, switches over.
Now, are all these voices the same ones from the cartoon, too?
Yeah, they are.
Because that's Mark Hamill as the Joker, isn't it?
Oh, God, is he good.
He really is.
He is so good.
What I love about
that entire scene, the opening scene where you're escorting him on that rack through
Arkham. Yeah, the whole opening.
And he's, like, taunting you the entire time.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. So, and also, the game is so violent, too. Like, there's guards dying and stuff. It's pretty serious shit.
Yeah, it's very dark.
But it's an awesome game. I know I'm kind of late to the table here with this... You know, people are like, yeah, I played that a year ago. But still, you know, I'm just saying I'm excited about it.
Hey, get it back out, dust it back off, and play it again.
You even mentioned it today. It's like a superhero version of, like, Metal Gear Solid. Kind of, you do a lot of sneaking, but you're super badass, and you have all kinds of cool toys.
I love doing the glide kick from way up high. You see a bad guy, and you and you fly right over him and jump on him. And the different kind of, like, you can get them in a headlock and stuff. And just the cool fighting moves are awesome because you'll do quick moves and then there'll be a slow-mo, like, roundhouse kick to a guy's head or something. Nice. It's really badass, yo.
Yeah, and I told you one of my favorite things is whenever you hang from a gargoyle and then if somebody passes underneath you, you can string them up.
Mm-hmm.
And if other guys see that, see their buddy hang, and they start freaking out, like, where's the bat? Where's the bat? And you can just start screwing with them. It's really a lot of fun.
You know, one of my favorite things so far is you can throw the batarang and the camera follows behind it in slow motion, like, and hits them in the head or whatever.
Yeah, there's a level where you upgrade and you can control the batarang.
Oh, sweet.
So you go into that view and you can throw it and then direct it.
Oh, and you know what? I also got the Roku in the mail yesterday.
Oh, I want to see
that. And you know what's funny? I don't know. From the pictures and stuff on the website, I thought it was about the size of a DirecTV box, Bill. So I go out to check my mail. I go out to check the mail and I open the box and the box is in there. I'm like, whoa, what the hell? It's like this tiny. So I open it up and then the Roku box is half the size of the box. It's like a little square like this. And I was like, what is this thing?
This means something. But it's just a little solid state streaming device and it doesn't get hot. It gets hot if you put something on top of it. But
yeah, it says to leave it out in the open and also for the Wi-Fi signal. And I was like, I wonder how well the signal is going to be from the bedroom to in here. Because really, it's not that far. But I was just curious, like, how the HD will look in the bedroom. It's going through Wi-Fi. And it looked fantastic. I was like,
yeah, it does.
I was like, it's magic. How does it work? I don't understand. But one sad thing, Bill, is I was like, oh, shit, I didn't have time to go buy a new HDMI cable. So I did something kind of sad is I took the HDMI cable from the HD DVD player and unhooked it. Because I hadn't watched anything in quite a while.
That's sad.
It is sad. But
he's all lonely now.
He's like, why are you unhooking me?
I'm like, abandoned.
It's okay. Just you be quiet. Go back to sleep.
It really is like a child. It's enormous.
Yeah, it's just crazy. Oh, and another thing is the Roku box makes no sound at all. And I had some people on Facebook saying, hey, if the Xbox, you can watch video. The Xbox is, we talked about
it's
it
loud.
Before. It's like a jet turbine.
Even the new one is still like, it's not silent.
It honestly gets, I've tried to watch, like, I watched The Walking Dead. I bought it all in the Zune marketplace on the Xbox. And I'm sitting there watching the, Walking Dead. You guys remember, there'd be some really quiet scenes. Like, the whole time. I'm like, wow, I really love this. It's like, geez. I'm going to put, like, earplugs on and just read it in subtitles or something.
You put the Xbox in another room and run an HDMI cable. What's cool about
the Roku is they add... The Roku adds new channels all the time.
Yeah, I saw that.
Some of them are worth it. Some of them aren't. But, like, I use regularly, I use Netflix, I use Amazon Video On Demand, I use Hulu Plus.
And, I've gotten at least three different times I've earned movies on Amazon that I don't watch, and I could watch them now.
Yeah, and especially sometimes when you buy a Blu-ray from them, they'll have you get a free streaming version for
24 hours or something.
Yeah, and there's there's like movie channels that I like watching, like Moonlight Movies and stuff like that, where it's old, crappy public domain films.
You know, one thing I was telling you, there's a one channel, it's called Speed Racer. I was like, oh, what's this? Cool, Speed Racer, you can just watch Speed Racer cartoons, right? It goes, for $4.99 a month, you can watch Speed Racer. I was like, $4.99 a month? Why would you subscribe? There's only how many episodes of Speed Racer in existence? Buy the box set for $30. Why would you pay $5 a month?
You have to be a hardcore Speed Racer fan.
It's like, what? Maybe they're hoping somebody will do it on a whim and forget
them
about
all?
Their thing. Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
The Cartoon Network?
Now, guys, we got a lot of voicemail. Let's go ahead and get into this. The first voicemail is from Todd. Let's check it out.
Hey, Norman Mulberry, this is Todd from the ATL, where if you need some good dentistry work, just come on down to the basement. That is Georgia. Loved the show last week. Kept me quite entertained. I thought I'd call and give you a small movie review. Just wanted to let you know that I'm a big fan of Alison Brie. And so I decided to pick up a movie of hers called Born. And all I can say is it was just pure awful enjoyment, if there's such a thing.
Boring?
She pretty much did all she could with that movie. It was just so god-awful. She, at one point, had to carry a scene where she was talking to the demon, and she was actually the voice of the demon as well. So she's literally having a conversation with herself. And even she couldn't pull that off, unfortunately. And the CGI effects are totally awesome. There was a point where they tried to abort the baby, and the doctor literally, like, cut a hole around her belly button to make this.
What is this news?
I don't think the doctors do that when they're aborting babies. So anyway,
I think we need a preface on this thing.
So yeah, you might want to stay away from it. But you just, you know, if you want to give it a shot, you're going to probably be pretty sad afterwards. Anyway, didn't take away from Alison Brie though. Anyway, picked up my Marvel vs. Capcom 3. I don't know if Bill, you play that at all. I'm playing on PS3, and. Good call on the Dead Island trailer, man. That trailer is totally awesome for a video game. So hopefully these guys know how to make a video game, because they sure as hell know how to make a trailer for a video game. Anyway, guys, have a good show, and I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Thank you, Todd. Now, Laura, did you see that trailer to Dead Island? It's a new zombie video game. Wow.
Dead Island.
Bill, I'll let you talk about it. Just how you've saw it first, and I saw it after you posted it. So.
Well, I only saw it first because on Twitter, Simon Pegg wrote, "Oh my God," and just put that link, and I watched it, and I was I didn't know how to react after I saw it.
It's the music and everything. It's like a zombie. This family has been attacked, and it's after it's happened. So it shows everything
going in. It's like an augmented timeline.
It's everything going in reverse, and then they'll show some things happen forward as it's going backwards. And it's really just awesome. And
there was a couple mentions that I was like, oh, yeah, that it opens with the shot of the girl's eye like it's lost.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody said that was, you know, that might be an homage to Lost. And all I know right now is it's a open world, first person, four player cooperative, action RPG game. That's a mouthful. So it's like you actually, you start on this island filled with zombies, and there's a story, but you have to work your way through it, and you have to, it's all melee combat. There's no there's no guns on the island. And
okay, I don't know if I like that, but okay.
Yep.
You got to have a shotgun.
Well, I'm sure there is, but they're very limited.
I would build myself a shotgun if there wasn't a shotgun.
Well, that's one of the things. You have to incorporates customizable weapons. So it's kind of like, you know, you have to build weapons and then they degrade over time, because I read that as you swing at the zombie, you're going to hit bone, and it's going to dull the weapon or,
you know, I don't know about it. Like, if it's a crowbar, that thing is never going to decay. And it's like, no, the video game mechanics, it decays. It's like, no, it doesn't. It's a frigging crowbar. It's like,
it's cast iron.
When we play like certain MMOs, Bill, where the weapon decays, I'm like, it doesn't decay this much. Come on.
There was another moment about the trailer that I was reading. It was like it was 50-50. Either people loved it or they hated it.
Mm-hmm.
Like that that guy at I think it's Badass Digest. He wrote he just was totally negative about the whole thing.
It's
so trite. Don't be an asshole.
It was okay. If you want to compare something that's trite, like say the Zombieland opening credits, where it's all slow mo to Metallica, that made my skin crawl. But this, I thought, was beautiful in a way. And I read, you know, people immediately start taking it apart. We're like, I love the internet. Like, there's one part where a zombie chick's arm gets cut off, and I literally saw someone wrote, a zombie wouldn't react to their arm getting chopped off. They don't feel pain. Fake. And I was like, okay, how can you call video game graphics in a game fake? That's not the right word you're using. Okay? You don't say fake. And another one, Bill, is what we talk about. Man, this is so Uncanny Valley.
Yes.
Because there's this blog I read or whatever, Ionine. I don't anymore because they've changed it so much it annoys the shit out of me, the format.
Yeah, it's that Gawker media template.
But whenever you see ugly. Something like, what would you say, like Christmas Carol with Jim Carrey. Remember the animation the commercials? Uncanny Valley. It's like so.
Yeah, it's just two word comment. Reality. Like I'm so geeky that I don't even need to say anything else.
Yeah, so people love to write that whenever there's animation. So you know, Bill, you posted that, and I was like, very Uncanny Valley. It's like
the other comment was.
Say it now.
I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, you could use a comment on everything now, just where it doesn't even make sense.
Yeah. Well, that's what we're going to start doing. But the other comment was that. I don't see any gameplay here, so there's this trailer means nothing, and it made me think, well, it's a trailer that's trying to create an emotional response and set the mood for the game,
it's
which
called
is
a
really heavy.
Teaser trailer.
Yeah.
All teaser
and
trailers,
that's all it's about,
they
is
don't
setting
show
that
gameplay.
Mood.
Yeah, they don't show gameplay on teaser trailers. Remember the very first Left 4 Dead thing we saw? Mm-hmm. It was like the animated opening sequence or whatever. It's like, well, this doesn't look like gameplay. It's like, it's not. It's just setting the game. It's like, well, you can't please everybody. But I was blown away by it, Bill.
Yeah, the music and the animation. And there's one moment in it where you can take that Uncanny Valley and toss it out the window like the girl in the thing. Because there's a moment where the dad reaches for the daughter. And you can actually see in his eyes, like, that the frightened concern quality.
Mm-hmm.
And they obviously put a lot of work into it.
Yeah,
I
definitely.
Was very impressed.
It's sweet. So, Laura, check it out.
I am. I
watched it multiple times, like, over and over again. You know? Trying to follow the sequence of it forward and everything. It's pretty cool.
And I think that's one of the best qualities of it, is that augmented reality of it, where it's... It's confusing and it's horrible, and I think that emphasizes the situation that the people are in it. But some idiots have to go, well, we got to put this in chronological order, and they re-edited it and put it back up on Facebook in chronological order.
What
so,
does it matter? It's
exactly.
It's like
if you can't enjoy it.
I mean,
how it's meant
let me
to be
ask
enjoyed.
You this: you know, isn't there a feature on Memento where you can watch it forward? It's not the same thing. You
no.
don't, you don't,
there is?
You don't finish the movie. I don't know if it really happened or not, but I remember reading that people wanted it, but I can't remember if it even exists. But I'm sure it does, Memento Forward. But you don't get all the way through the movie because you lose interest. It's not the same thing. It's not what they intended you to do, you know? It's just not as interesting. So don't do that on the trailer. That's dumb. Right, Bill?
What else did he comment about, though, in that voicemail? There was something else I wanted to mention. Damn it. Oh, well, never mind. Doesn't matter.
Well, we got another voicemail, Bill. This one from Adam. Let's check it out.
What's up, Nim? It's Adam from the Bay Area, and I'm sitting in my truck, and I'm thinking about you guys. I listened to episode 227 today. It was hopping nuts, guys. Let me just say that.
Nice.
I was a little bedraggled because I was looking at a midget locksmith, and I just thought, man, I've got major issues because sometimes I want to be dirty, and then some days I want to be silky, and then other days I just want to be silky and dirty at the same time. So, you know, with that being said,
Adam's on
name
overload.
I think there was a lot of Star Wars references in the first, I don't know, 10 minutes or so of this last week's show.
Yes.
That's how we roll.
Sam from Rhode Island, awesome to hear that call. If people are out there and they've been listening to your show for that long or just been listening for a while and, you know, they're not calling in or something, just drop a line. I was thoroughly entertained to hear and excited to hear, like, a new voicemail from a listener. So that
Me
was
too.
Pretty cool. But Sam mentioned Star Wars. I think he did anyways. Oh, yeah. No. I'm sorry. It wasn't Sam. It was the lead-in to the voicemail, the way Jason set it up. Laura said it was Yoda-ish. And then you had Ross bringing up Star Wars because of killing younglings, and then the murder weapon discussion, and then Patrick said that Jason does a really good impression of Chancellor, no, I forget, somebody. But anyways, I thought that was pretty funny, but the gypsy on aisle 3 was hilarious. hilarious, and it was awesome, and Bill just lost his poop, and Laura was giggling a lot, and it was just really, really cool. So I'm still listening to it. I'm listening to the DVD segment right now. I locked myself out of a job site, so I'm just sitting in the truck waiting for the homeowner to come home.
Oh, dear.
So anyways, hey, love the show. It was awesome. I cannot wait to listen to the show you're going to record tonight on Tuesday. If that makes any sense. But have a great show, and I can't wait to hear it. Take it easy.
Thank you, Adam. Oh, and Bill, the name of that zombie trailer again is Dead Island, right?
Yes. Okay. And
just so everyone can
I have Twitter open, and just this second, it pops up from Deadline Hollywood that there's no script or creative attachments, but the hot movie project of the week is Dead Island.
Like somebody saw that trailer and was like, yep, where's the movie?
Holy crap, we need that movie.
But that's not a movie. It's just a trailer. Are they going to base it off that? What they need to do, seriously, get Guy Pearce in it and do it just like Memento.
Yeah, it says the likely movie deal will likely happen in the next week or so. The film will follow a Memento-like storyline. Even though the video game does not.
See?
They're all ready to make this thing.
Somebody watched that trailer and was like, I'm going to make this into a movie!
It inspired them.
Pretty sweet. Okay, let's keep rolling through these voicemails. The next one is from Chris. Let's check it out.
Whoa. Hey guys, this is Chris from Central Illinois, and I was just driving on my way to work here and listening to your show. And I think Sean was just talking about Friday Night Lights, and you guys have talked about Friday Night Lights for a while, and I've always kind of been a stubborn a-hole about it and not wanted to listen or watch the show and just couldn't fit it into my schedule. I always knew it was good, because if you guys say it's good, it's more than likely good. I finally broke down. They got all four of the first seasons on Netflix streaming, and the wife and I just plowed through them. It took us like 6 months to get through Lost, and we've gotten through all of Friday Night Lights up till season 5 in like less than a month. We absolutely love it. So in the past I've skipped the Friday Night Lights section because I wasn't invested in it at all, and now I'm skipping it so I don't get spoiled. At this point I think I need somebody out there to do a Spartacus-like clip show or just where they just compile all the Friday Night Lights talk into one big epic Friday Night Lights episode.
So I can listen
after we finish season 5 here. I'm just going to throw that out there to anybody. I don't really have the time. So, thanks, guys. Probably would not have watched Friday Night Lights without your suggestion, and it is one of my favorite shows of all time. So,
awesome.
I can't remember. Pardon me. All right. Okay. Take it easy. Later.
Thank you, Chris. It's very nice.
Sounds like me.
Oh, my God.
Whoa.
Chris!
That's not right.
That is,
poor Chris.
That's wrong.
Hope everything's all right there, Chris. That's awesome that we got you to watch FNL because it's a fantastic show. Fantastic, sir. And it'll be great. It's just great stuff. I want to go back and watch all of them.
I pulled the DVD of the first and second season out, so I'm going to start that again.
Remember, it's all
but
on
it's
Netflix,
nice to know they're
too.
On Netflix.
Yeah, in HD, too. Not that, you know, yeah. I know that Friday Night Lights, I'm going to say even more in the early days, was so grainy and stuff, it doesn't really matter.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah, that first season was real grainy.
Did they use film stock or
I don't know. I think they shot it from like mile away or something and zoomed in or something. That's how it did.
Really bad optics.
All right, guys, we have another voicemail. This one from Mike. Let's check it out.
Hey, Mulberry guys. Okay, you've done it. This is Mike from Ireland. And you finally bullied me into making a voicemail. You see, I've got a real problem, guys. I can't. It's been the early 200 since I voicemailed in, and I've got twin problems. One, I can think of nothing interesting to say, sorry. And secondly, when I hear my own voice on the show, it just makes me cringe real bad. I mean, real bad. I can listen to the entertaining voicemails of Rick and Adam and the others, and even Sam, was it? New guy? Yeah. But yeah, I just can't listen to myself. I really can't. I just can't. It's awful. So, you know, I'm going to voice mail in because I love you guys. I love the show. But I'm just going to fill up the time with sort of crazy random crap, which I think it might work. I've been listening to the early shows, 1 to 10. That's been fun. I really think you should call introduce Laura as the Mulberry Vanessa. That'd be fun.
Oh, no.
What the hell? I think Rick started his friends.
Chris Bag.
I was doing performance art.
Awesome.
Like banging up the microphone. Nothing.
Entertainment.
Okay, I just listened back to that, and I said, "Bullied me? You didn't bully me. You cajoled me, shamed me into making voice."
Listen back to that.
That's correction number one. And the second thing is, that wasn't just a crisp bag; that was a tato bag. Unfortunately, been Americans, you guys don't know what tatoes are.
Tatoes?
You're missing out. That's tato. Not tater. Tater. Potato. Well, I think you call them chips.
Chips.
Possibly because in America they seem to be rock hard and could break your teeth.
Yes.
Whereas they're kind of ever so slightly soft here. That's a really bad description. Made of potatoes. They're really, really good. Anyhow, chewy. That's enough lunacy. Thanks, guys. I may voicemail it again. Who knows? I don't, certainly.
Well, thank you, Mike. That was awesome.
That was, yeah.
So, tatoes, got it. You know, I
got
like
taters.
Munchos myself.
I wonder if those are anything like tato skins. Remember those?
Oh, yeah, tato skins.
God, I love tato skins. Do they make those anymore?
Were they tato skins or tata skins? Like, tato skins.
Tato.
Like, I remember the music was
like
something.
Jitterbug.
Like
Jitterbug. Jitterbug.
No, Tato was like a game company or something. Or is that Tito?
Yeah. I think it's Tito.
Now we got another voicemail. This one from Derek. Hey, Derek.
Oh, and he's right. Oh. I don't understand why we call them chips, because that does kind of make it sound like they're hard and teeth breakable. Crisp sounds much better.
Chips, yeah. Or like, I guess like potato chips are always chips, but brand names of like Cheetos or Fritos or whatever, they have the market on that, right?
Right. I think so.
Derek.
Hey, Nowhere in Mulberry, guys. This is Derek, formerly from Denver. Now I'm living in Anaheim, so I'm with my California brethren out here.
Disneyland.
Hoping to meet up with those guys at,
it's Disneyland.
At NIMFest 2012 or whenever we're going to do it. Just listening to episode 227, loved Rick's voicemail. Great job with the hidden mystery music in the background. I had no idea when I was listening to it whether that was something that Jason threw in there or what that was. But your reaction was so funny. And the fact that Rick didn't mention anything, it just kind of crept into his call and then just kept going was hysterical, especially how long it went. So really, really funny stuff. Wondering if you guys have seen on Instant Watch on Netflix anything really that caught your eye lately. I've seen Into the Void, which is not Into the Void, Enter the Void, which is by Gaspar Noé, who did Irreversible, which is a really, really, really messed up, disturbing movie. Definitely leaves an impression if you've seen that. Enter the Void is not as, I don't know, doesn't mess with you as much, and it's visually
is
a pretty remarkable movie to watch. So definitely worth checking out on streaming. Love to hear you guys' thoughts on that one and any other suggestions that you might have. Anyway, have a great week, and I'll talk to you later. Take care. Bye.
Thank you, Derek. You know, what's funny, as soon as I got that Roku, Emma's watching me hook it up and everything, and they have lots of kids shows, and she goes, I want to watch Cyber Chase. Remember that show?
Yes.
So I was like, okay. And so I hit Cyber Chase, and before you know it, I'm like, I hooked up the new toy, and I didn't even get to watch anything on it. She was watching cartoons. So I guess late at 9 or something, and I never did get to mess with it. So it's a new cartoon machine, I guess. Now, we got another voicemail. This is our last voicemail. Chris from Buffalo. Different Chris. He's from Buffalo. Let's check it out.
Hey, guys.
Tatanka.
Hey, Nowhere in Mulberry. This is Chris calling from Buffalo. Long time back. But I just wanted to touch base with you guys and let you know that I am still a fan of the show.
Thank you, sir.
Towards the end of the year, things got a little hectic, and I got behind on podcasts and whatnot. You know, some family matters and whatnot. Oh,
that's okay.
Not the
whatever happened to predictability.
Featuring Carl Winslow, of course. But anyway, so just wanted to let you guys know that I have been working on catching up on old episodes and listening to the new ones, and very much enjoying them. And the quality of the show definitely has not dropped.
Oh, they're going to say increased.
I've
dang.
Really enjoyed hearing Laura and her addition to the show. It's been really great. So keep up the good work. I don't know if this will be in time for the new episode tonight. It's like about 5 o'clock Eastern on Friday. But if it does, have a good show tonight. And I look forward to listening to it next week. Take care, guys.
Thanks, Chris. That's one thing. If you get behind on the shows, you just got a lot of listening to do when you're ready, and we'll help fill the work days. Right, guys?
That's right.
All right. That's all our voicemail. Guys, thanks for all the voicemail. Let's check out entertainment quickly. Woo-hoo! I'm in a big hurry, guys. Now, there's a new movie with Liam Neeson called Unknown. I have no idea what that is. It's unknown. Also, I Am Number 4, Bill. I don't know what happened to 1, 2, or 3. And
they're dead.
Big Mama's House 3 came out.
Oh, no.
No, it's Big Mama's House, like father, like son.
Oh, come on. Why can't they just call Big Mama's House 3? But anyway, it's a special surprise. I'm taking Laura to see that tomorrow.
Oh, awesome.
I'm going to kidnap her. And take her to see Big Mama's House.
Great.
So that's about it. Does anyone know? Yeah. I mean, really, that Liam Neeson movie is unknown to me. What is it?
It basically looks like Taken 2.
Taken / The Bourne Identity.
It's Taken 2, but he has no memory.
It says, awakening from a coma caused by a car accident. Dr. Martin Harris realizes that his wife doesn't recognize him. Another man has taken his identity, and killers are suddenly in pursuit of him. That's a shitty situation.
Yeah. I hope he Liam the Neeson's the shit out of that.
I'm sure he will.
I don't know what the hell that means. But you know what was I Am Number 4. I don't know what that is. I mean, I know it looks like people have powers and shit. So
yeah,
interesting.
It's a film based on young adult book.
Oh, I'm
about,
into that. Like Judy Blume or something?
Yeah. Hello, God. It's me, Margaret.
And I have superpowers.
And I have superpowers.
I think they're aliens.
Oh, they're aliens. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. You know, I could sit through that stuff, I guess. But
yeah, they're aliens, and they have to stay separate. And number 4... 1, 2, and 3 have been killed or something, and now they're coming after number 4, and he's really special.
And he's really handsome, too, isn't he, Bill?
Oh, it's dreamy.
All right, guys, let's check out what's on our TiVo. We spent so much time talking about videos and games and stuff. Let's just go ahead and get into the TiVo. What do you guys say?
All right.
All right, let's do it. TiVo! Yes.
Why does everyone think I'm a creep?
I don't know. That's the first show I want to talk about, guys. It's called Eagle Heart, and it comes on Cartoon Network on Thursdays at midnight. And it's it's only 15 minutes long, an episode, and it stars Chris Elliott. And it's written by Conan writers, I guess ex-Conan writers, and Conan produces it. And it's really the silliest show I've ever seen. I mean, it's silly, and it's really violent, and it just cracks me up. Like, this one episode was about creepitin, this drug. Apparently, every man has a gland that secretes creepitin that makes him creepy. And certain men, you know, who are extra creepy, that kind of like, you know, flash women and stuff, they have a high amount of creepitin in their system.
So like molesters, like
yeah. So okay. there's like this eccentric billionaire who invented a to-do list software. He's everyone calls him a creep and stuff, and he doesn't have a girlfriend, so he decides he's going to create this creepitin epidemic or whatever. He's going to put it in the water supply, and all the men will be creepy so much that women will flock to him because he's less creepy and he has a better chance, right? So
genius.
It really is. And it's so funny, though. The way the episode begins is this kid is walking home, and this old man's like, "Hey, kid, I got some comic books. You want to come look?" And he's like, "Okay." And you're like, "Oh, no." But then he's like, "Have a good day." And he drops him off. "Thanks for the ride, mister." And you're like, "Oh, okay. Nothing happened to the kid." And then a truck pulls up to the old man. He goes, "Hey, mister, want to see something?" And I forget what he says. He goes, "I got so-and-so back at my place." And the old man's like, "Okay." And he like gets in his car. And it's like the next day he's sitting there dead. And this is what happens when they find him dead. Chris Elliott and his two partners, they're investigating the crime.
Yeah, boy. All right, watch your feet.
Ugh. Creepy Earl.
Who's that?
Creepy.
He's the most wonderful man I ever knew. When I was growing up, he would give us kids rides in his rusty van and invite us over to pet his rabbits. Why'd he have to die?
Well, if I had to guess, I'd say he got a disease from those rabbits. In about 24 hours, this town's going to be a dust-ridden plague zone. If we want to die painlessly, I say we kill ourselves now. I'll go first.
There's a fresh scar in his abdomen.
Probably a chupacabra bite.
No, I think so. And what is this?
Neil Phipps. Creepy.
They're not creepy. And neither am I. What do you want?
We're U.S. Marshals. And we have reason to believe that your life may be in danger.
Well, when you're the world's most successful creator of to-do list software, you can expect to make some enemies. It's a risk I've learned to live with.
Well, I gotta hand it to you, Phipps. You've really got quite a rad pad here.
Yes, I do. I guess you could say success was always on my to-do list.
And it's just you and the mother who live here?
If you're asking about a wife, the answer is no.
Wow. What about girlfriends?
No. Women never got Neil Phipps.
What a shocker.
Hello? Really?
It's all serious
okay.
Music.
Goodbye. They found another dead creep.
What's going on?
Somebody's offing creeps. We thought you were going to be his next target.
What? Does everyone think I'm a creep?
Well, it's probably because of the way you are and the things you do.
Finish your ginger ale and get out.
Well, I guess we should have a look at that creep's corpse. What do you say we go hang around the ladies' changing rooms at TJ Maxx for a while and then go to the morgue?
Jesus. They've already started showing symptoms of creepiness. All of the, let's hang around at the changing rooms at TJ Maxx. And the female partner, she's like, what? I love that. It's a very silly show. And
it's 15 minutes long?
Yeah. Well, just I won't give away anything away. This week's episode had to do with sky crime, where apparently in their town, or I don't know, they make it seem the world, anything you do in the sky is legal. So this guy has a blimp where they can do anything they want, like gamble and prostitution and helicopters and stuff. And they even have these drug dealers on trampolines. They jump up in the air and then they exchange money and drugs. It's really funny. It's just the silliest thing you've ever seen. So you guys check that out. Okay, another show that's just ridiculous is, of course, The Cake Boss. We love Buddy last week with the shark cake. But this week, Bill, he's doing a completely different kind of cake. He's doing a toilet cake.
A turlet cake?
Yes, and one that flushes. So let's go ahead and check this out. It's pretty good. And there's some stuff in the middle where the quality control has slipped at Carlo's Bakery, and Buddy gets he gets really pissed off about this.
We have a challenge for you. We want you to make us a special cake.
Of course, Ian, anything for you guys.
How about this? We sold hundreds of these toilets in the early 50s with our grandfather.
We want you to make us a vintage toilet bowl cake.
A toilet bowl cake? You want me to make a cake in the shape of a toilet bowl?
Yes. Toilet bowl cake.
People spend a lot of money now on toilets. It's a big thing.
Listen, I do some of my best thinking on a toilet bowl. I mean, that's for sure. And then I'm like, maybe if it's actual size, it'll actually look cool. So now I'm thinking a toilet bowl cake might not be that bad.
But there's more. I want to see if we can make this toilet actually flush.
You want a cake to flush?
You think you can do it?
What are these people out of their mind? They want this cake to flush? I'm a baker, not a
apparently
plumber.
They want it to scratch.
The cake, water and cake don't mix. It can't flush.
You gotta make it flush.
We think you can do it.
Come on.
If anybody could do it, buddy, you could do it.
How the hell am I gonna make a cake flush? They throw it out there. Well, if there's anybody who can do it, you can do it. It's like saying, come on, you're challenging me. And then I, you know, gotta rise to the occasion to make it happen. I think people do it on purpose. I swear to God, I think they do it on purpose.
A toilet bowl that flushes. Make history.
I'm gonna make a toilet. We're gonna make the frame out of wood.
It's gonna go in this
material treats and modeling chocolate. We're even gonna put some plumbing guts inside and fill it with real water in a bowl. But I gotta tell you, I honestly don't know if this thing is really gonna flush.
Wait a second.
What'd I do?
I don't know what you did. What did you do? That cake doesn't look good. It's supposed to be topsy-turvy, Danny.
Oval.
Yeah, but it's not egg yet. It's crooked.
That's a crooked cake. Crooked. He's about
what
to
are you
ship
blind?
Out.
You don't see that it's crooked? The cake is leaning this way. Here's the thing. I can't inspect everything that goes out these doors. You're going to tell me that you two don't see that this is crooked?
Oh, no.
You were going to send out a crooked cake?
No, it's supposed to.
You can't send out a cake like this.
Yeah, listen.
I mean, come on, man. You
listen,
know, this
I,
is not this
I
is not kindergarten.
That is not there.
And the bride's going to call me. You want to say there's a crooked cake on your wedding day?
Listen, I iced the cake. I didn't stack up the cake. I didn't. I only iced.
Well, who the hell stacked the cake?
Your brother-in-law, Mauro.
Go get him. Go get Mauro.
Go get Mauro. Go ahead.
Yeah. Mauro.
Whenever we do this cake, that's the way it looks.
This is garbage. I don't want to put my name on stuff like this.
Okay.
He's going to send a crooked cake out. You build a crooked cake. Come on, man. This is my name. Sometimes I lose my
reputation.
But it's who I am. But I won't let it interfere with other clients' cakes. You know what? I do some of my best thinking on the toilet bowl, so... So let me take a seat. Let me think. Because I do like to think on the bowl.
A light bulb just
good
lit on top
buddy.
Of you.
It's like a moral. It's not a real toilet.
It hit me.
I grab one of the plastic buckets. We put our fondants in. I put a couple cuts in it. And presto, we got a toilet bowl.
He just said a toilet bowl, right?
Yep.
I love Buddy.
He did. And earlier he said toilet bowl.
Yeah, for a while it sounded like he was saying toll bowl. Toll bowl.
Toll bowl.
We got a toilet bowl.
We got a toilet bowl. Okay.
You want me to make a cake in the shape of a toilet bowl?
See, he doesn't sound like he's saying toilet.
He can't
he's very
pronounce
excitable.
The consonants.
Toll bowl.
Want me to
it's
make a cake
vowels.
In the shape of a toilet bowl?
Toll bowl.
Toll bowl.
I do some of my best thinking on the toilet bowl, so... So let me take a seat. Let me think.
There's no T at the end.
You don't need to keep telling us that, buddy. He likes his joke so much he keeps saying it, you know?
A toilet bowl cake?
Yes,
toilet
bowl.
It's the same with he can't pronounce a T-H. He says dink or tink.
Yeah, I think this is a good toilet bowl. Toilet bowl in Disneyland.
Excuse
me while I go sit on the toilet bowl.
Hey, did you guys check out Ramsay's Best Restaurant finale?
I did.
I thought it was really good, didn't you?
Yeah.
One thing that I think is interesting about Gordon Ramsay is these people own their own restaurants. They run their own restaurants. But Gordon, he runs everything so like a tight ship that he starts yelling at these people even like they're in Hell's Kitchen or something. You guys notice that?
Yes.
He's really into being, and I can understand this. You want to have.
Well, I think his standards are higher.
His standards are very high. And I love when these very talented brothers, he starts yelling at them about not working together right. And then what is the guy? Bobby at the Prashad. He gets a lot of yelled at and stuff. And let's go ahead and check this out. I thought it was pretty cool
Bobby,
stuff.
Bobby, you look tired.
And, you know, I was actually rooting for either one of the guys. Really?
Yeah, I
like
both of them.
I kind of like Prashad better, only because the two Italian guys, they're just too fancy pants.
You know what? I think the same thing when I see all that fancy stuff. I think it's neat, but it doesn't necessarily like, oh, I want to taste that. Not at all.
Yeah, exactly.
When I see their food.
I don't care if they sous vide the fish and then pan fry it.
Right. And the thing I did think is cool is the cool mist stuff or the dry ice. That was neat, but it doesn't make
me the liquid nitrogen
it.
In the lemon bowl.
But the prasad stuff, I have maybe eaten Indian food once, and I couldn't even tell you if it was like good food and I'm just not used to it or whatever. But their food makes me want to try it.
Yeah, it looks delicious.
So let's check this out.
Will it be Casimir from Bristol or Prashad from Bradford?
Casimir.
This will be the service of their lives.
This is pans, mate. They're so small, eh? They're so small.
I know, they're shit.
The experimental nature of the boys' cooking means it requires extraordinary attention to detail, and this is really slowing them down.
I just need some bigger pans. These are very small.
Why now? Just say it to me now. That's what I said. You've got to get organised, guys. I'm going to the best restaurant, not the most disorganised. No, stop.
To make matters worse, they aren't working together properly either. As one cooks the first order, the other should be getting the next ready.
How long for that first chef table, please?
1 minute, chef.
Thank you. Are you starting the six behind it? Is anyone starting? I'm just saying, is anyone starting?
Six, yes.
Good. If I boast about the teamwork, it has to deliver the teamwork. Do you understand? There's no point in John Ray watching you and you watching John Ray.
Yes, chef.
Let's go. Get involved together, guys.
Yes, chef. It's really massive pressure, but hopefully we're just going to cook what we always cook from the heart, and everything's going to be perfect.
Well, it won't be if they don't start working together. Customers are waiting, and Casimir haven't served a single dish.
When you said 8 minutes, we're now on 12 minutes. How long for the first risotto?
Chef, 2 minutes. I wanted to try
that new potato risotto.
So you're going to serve it while you get the next one,
ready? Yeah, that sounds
good. Come on, guys. Pete, look at me, please. Look at me. Hey, guys, no, come here, both of you, a minute. Look.
Just
can you not serve that while you get the next one ready?
Yes, I do, actually.
Come on, guys, please.
Finally, the risotto leaves the kitchen. Casimir's food is going down well, but the boys are worryingly disorganised.
That was bullshit. Let me tell you why. You can't stand there with your head in a pan and then run up to the hot plate and start serving food. And you can't stand there, my man, and look around him. You've got to work together.
Yes, chef.
Yes?
Yes, chef.
Pop up. Tandem was amazing.
Yes.
Raw loss of road. Amazing. But there seems to be no system here today.
Yes, chef.
Got to get a system. Come on.
Chef. I know,
me. Prasad, five covers away, table one, yes?
Thank you.
Okay.
Minal, I want to hear you. Just disintegrated. Minal, I want to hear you.
Yes, chef.
In contrast to the Casimir boys, Minal and Kalshi are showing fantastic teamwork from the word go.
Mom? Yes. You all right? Yes, fine. How are you? Fine.
What all this? Every time, yeah? I can't wipe your plates.
Yeah.
I cannot wipe your plates, yeah? Okay, go, please.
But just when it's all going so right, dishes get sent to the wrong table. And Bobby's two starters short.
Bobby!
A mistake like this can throw a kitchen into chaos.
If they're not clear, they come back down with a tray.
Okay.
And they tell me and I rectify it again.
Okay.
They cannot go to a different f***ing table. So when I send two chat away on 7 and two away on table 8, it's got to go there.
Minel doesn't miss a beat. She just deals with the problem smoothly and efficiently.
I cannot have this mistake starting with the main course.
Okay.
Casimir's liquid nitrogen wizardry has wowed my experts and the diners. But is this just another Casimir gimmick?
Oh, that's lovely.
Oh, that is very clever.
Very clever. Now, we should say, I guess, spoil it for anybody who hasn't watched it, is who won, and that was Casimir, the brothers. And I was actually, I wanted Prasad to win, but do you think it was their wow factor that won them the thing at the end?
Yeah, absolutely.
I know Gordon Ramsay just said these guys, he hasn't seen 3-star chefs do the creativity that these guys did tonight. So I guess that's what wowed him. And even though Prasad has incredible food that he loves, I think that they didn't step out of
their comfort zone or whatever.
Yeah, they didn't like wow him like the Casimir, I guess.
I think they kind of failed in the dessert, too, because a lot of people said it was too sweet.
Yeah, that's it.
Right.
That's definitely where they lost it, was the dessert.
Yeah, they should have had smoke coming out of it or something. Like a fuse in
they
it.
They should have made an Indian panna cotta.
Here's our Indian
here's
food.
Here's our famous exploding
sparklers.
Dessert.
Sparklers.
Maybe they could have brought, like, a cow in or something.
So what did you guys think of the show?
We won't eat this cow, but you can look at it.
Now that it's over, did you guys like it?
Yeah, I liked it.
I thought it was pretty cool. I really liked when the competition stepped up. I thought it was pretty neat. Did you guys see?
I liked the last week's episode with the Spanish restaurants too. I thought that was really good.
Yeah, it was really cool how the elimination stuff is kind of heartbreaking. You feel bad when they get eliminated and stuff.
I didn't like seeing the the Chinese guys, get eliminated.
Yeah, that was sad. But it was good stuff. I wonder if Gordon will do it again. I don't know.
Different parts of the world. I hope he continues to do shows in the UK because they're much better than the shows we get here.
Take those winners and pit them against each other.
I want him to bring the quality that he does there here. Why not, you know?
I think that's limited to the production company.
I did like MasterChef. I did like that show. I thought it was,
and that's coming back soon, I think.
Yeah, I really like MasterChef. Completely different.
Yeah, they're shooting it now.
We get our entertainment from his other shows, but MasterChef I thought was a lot better than like Hell's Kitchen or Kitchen Nightmares or whatever.
Probably because it's not produced by that A. Smith
company. Yeah.
Yeah, oh, they're awful.
All right, before we talk about Kitchen Nightmares, let's talk about Face Off. Face Off.
Face Off.
Now, this episode was really entertaining to me because they had to create a villain and a movie concept with poster.
And tagline.
And those cracked me up.
So bad. Some of these were like, oh, so that's why you're an artist and not
not creative. Not well, a writer, not a creator.
Yeah, but first of all, Sean S. Cunningham, the guy who did Friday the 13th and other movies.
Sean S. Cunningham?
Yeah, look there. Whoa, oh my God.
Director of Deep Star 6?
Let's check this out. And also notice when the guy gives a little joke, you know, what makes an incredible villain? It's like, well, you know, you got to be scary or whatever, but it doesn't hurt to have that hockey mask. And the hostess goes, kind of goes like a really fake laugh. Just listen to that. It's so like phony sounding.
My father did the makeup.
Sean, why do you think Jason resonated so much with audiences?
Jason is, I think, the quintessential boogeyman. There's something profoundly scary about a death threat that can't be negotiated with. Also, I think the hockey mask doesn't hurt at all.
Normal serial killer villains aren't something that's right up my alley, so it's going to take me some time to figure out what I'm doing. I don't know. Maybe I can use Megan. That would be my villain at this point. Megan's laugh is terrifying, and it makes me violent. Every time I hear her laugh, I want to punch someone in the face.
Your earlobes out?
My concept with this character, he's definitely been locked away from people for a long time. I'm calling him Him, H-I-M, which will be the name of the film as well.
Okay.
My tagline is your mind, .. his playground.
Awesome.
My whole piece takes place in the late 70s, early 80s.
Okay.
And it's a slasher film, and it takes place in the roller skating rink. My movie is supposed to be funny and catchy. That's part of the vibe. I just hope the judges get it.
The movie is called Final Skate.
Class of 78 is going to pieces. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking of having a lighthouse here. The title is going to be Cautionary Point. My tagline is Heed the Warning. My villain is a lighthouse operator, so I want my killer to be half burned, and then the other half a waterlogged corpse. The name of the movie is London Twilight, and the idea is that it's a roving gang of psychopaths, and a villain to psychotic surgeons to form.
Tagline?
I'm thinking the doctor is out, and then .. of his mind.
Like the .. of his
confession.
Mind.
Tagline?
Confession won't always save you.
The title of the movie,
it
I
won't.
Decided to go with Baby Dolls. And the tagline is Daddy's Little Secret Has Come Back to Play.
My idea is a demon of vengeance, and through voodoo he's summoned. So the title for the concept is Voodoo Dawn. It's supposed to take place in the bayou, like some kind of a swampy backdrop.
Okay.
I'm not a tagline for the guy.
Death is just the beginning.
Okay.
I wanted
like a
to
loon.
Say Teddy told me to. And then my tagline is, it's all fun and games until someone dies.
I think Tom
does when the fun
kind of Halloween quality work. It's not the kind of stuff I would expect to see in a feature film.
My concept is an evil photographer, and his victims are the people that he takes photos of.
Do you have a name?
Chester's Photography. The picture says 1,000 words. His victims say
none. Sounds scary.
Okay.
I don't know that I would want to go see Chester's photography, because when she explained the concept, it sounded a little thrown together.
What's your story, can I ask?
He
You want to know what it is? It's a big, big epic story of none of your business. What am I going to do now?
What's that guy's problem?
I'm in trouble. I don't have time to start all over again.
By far, my favorite was Chester's Photography. That's the name of the movie.
You know, there are, I mean, there's got to be people in the world with the name Chester that do photography.
Like Chester's Photography. Rated
I'm getting
R.
Chester's Photography for
yeah, I'm
my
thinking if
wedding.
I saw that photographer with his big, gnarly teeth, I'd just turn around and walk
what,
right
the,
out.
What was the tagline? It was,
let me take your picture.
Pictures say tell 1,000 words. His victims don't, or something. It's like, what? Wait, what? But did you guys think that her mask looked like Michael Jackson?
It did.
With the big,
I thought it was maybe a cross between Michael Jackson and the Joker.
And then when the people were looking at it, they're like, "Can the mouth open? Can it do anything?" No. It's like, oh, okay. And they're just like,
yeah, that she might have actually had some success with that if the mouth opened.
Yeah, it's just like it's. You got to always remember that this is supposed to be camera ready. You know.
I don't know that I would want to go see Chester's Photography.
Aw, oh, come on. We'll get it back to eat and go see it.
Maybe we'll rename it. Hey.
I actually thought the worst was this guy.
The name of the movie is London Twilight.
Ooh. Oh. And the guy looked like...
It's a Clockwork Orange meets Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah, he looked like Mr. Exactly. Hyde. And he was like, it's a band of crazy lunatics who are gang. And it's like...
And there's a doctor.
And they like ultraviolence.
Now, why is everyone turned on this Megan girl? They're even at the beginning, they were like, I mean, Frank shouldn't have gone home. And it's like, that guy was a dick. Why did you not want him to go home? I think it's funny.
You know what, because she's young and she's cute and she's inexperienced and she gets attention. It's just like that automatic pettiness that people get.
That is
and
an
that
interesting
girl with
laugh.
The gigantic hoops in her ears. I want to pull both of them and kick her in the face.
They do like a cartoon sound, go and then like go. Yeah,
you just want to fasten her earlobes to something and pull her head back and slingshot her whole body somewhere.
She's just so bitter and angry.
Says 1,000 words. His victims say none.
Oh my God! No, another thing is the guy, that one guy, Connor. He's like, I don't like that one guy's teddy bear thing. It looks like cheap Halloween. And that guy won.
Yeah, he won.
They were like, this is an incredible concept. I was like, it is.
I didn't really like the teddy bear one.
I thought it was funny that they go, oh, the teddy bear's a mask.
The one idea I liked,
the creepy doll.
Well,
the girl with-
that was creepy, but I liked about the teddy bear guy is like he carries a giant yo-yo he hits people with. I was like, that idea is awesome.
The creepy girl thing isn't original, though. That whole thing is like the splicers in the BioShock game.
It's something about the eyeballs. Like when she pulls the mask off, it's like,
that was kind of creepy.
That just looked like that woman that pops her eyeballs out.
And the guy who got eliminated was the one who was like, you know, they're like, so what is your concept? I don't understand what his problem was there. He was like, you know, my story
it's
is...
It's a big, big, epic story of none of your business.
I'd be like, well, that doesn't sound like a good movie.
There was a horror film that took place... It was like one of those B to C grade ones that took place in a roller rink, but it also involved, like, scantily clad women and maybe Nazis.
I know. Is it the... Like the... Something Bolarama. I can't.
Yeah, and that's all I could think of whenever I saw that guy's poster, The Final Skate. It was just like, and wow, that's really lame.
Nazi Bolarama.
The one I thought was really goofy, and they go, "What's your concept of the lighthouse thing?" He goes, "Well, this guy got burnt by a lighthouse, and now he kills people." And I was like, "That makes no sense. Is he just
he got
mad?
Burnt by a lighthouse?"
And they were like, "This is a very strong design." I was like, "It looks lame." I thought
if he'd had some kids go in there, party it up, tie him up in the lighthouse, and then he got burned. Boom! You got a story.
It kind of reminded me of the guy from the fisherman guy from I Know What You Did Last Summer. Is what his concept reminded me of.
The biggest problem that guy had was that he said the moment he went, he's half burnt. I was like, okay, so he's half Freddy Krueger. And then he's like, well, the other half's waterlogged. And it didn't look waterlogged. It should have been, like, rotting and falling off and green. And it just didn't look like that. It just looked like he had a bad complexion.
Yeah.
Like, wow, he really needs to get into Sephora and get some product.
You know, I thought that that guy Connor was a strong contender up until now, but that Voodoo Don shit was horrible.
But his makeup is good.
Every time he said it,
all I can hear is D-O-N, Voodoo Don. Like, that's his name.
Like, I'm Voodoo Don. Voodoo Donald.
I'm Voodoo Don. How you doing? Voodoo Don.
Wouldn't that be good? I'm Voodoo Donald. I would have called it...
I'm related to Bad Ronald.
I would have called it Voodooed.
Voodooed.
Oh, that is awesome.
That would have been cool.
Voodooed.
What am I going to do now?
Like Voodoo apostrophe D?
Voodooed. Dude. But you know what? One thing I didn't like that what that guy said was...
Jason is, I think, the quintessential boogeyman.
I guess I could take it as a compliment, right?
Quintessentially. Boogie.
Quintessentially. Holy shit, it's Sean S. Cunningham!
That's what I thought.
He was
Deep Star 6.
Well, it's just like, okay, his big makeup concept for was a hockey mask.
Well, Friday the 13th, of course, we know that that was a huge franchise, but Deep Star 6 is a piece of shit movie. There's something called The New Kids I've never even heard of. I was like, the what?
And am I thinking right that Deep Star 6 was the Abyss ripoff?
It was Leviathan, yeah. Deep Star 6, yeah. The Abyss were all came out like the same summer.
Okay.
So when Deep Star 6 came out first, then Leviathan, and then the Abyss came out and there were no monsters, people were like, wait a second, you know? We got these other monsters. Everyone was expecting it to be monster on a sub movie, and it wasn't.
Where's Peter Weller?
But I do know what we're going to see after the show tonight, guys.
The name of the movie is London Twilight.
Ooh. All right, guys, let's talk about Kitchen Nightmares, okay?
I thought I'd scheduled an appointment for us to all get our photos taken at Chester's Photography.
Oh, yeah. There's something really creepy about this photography. I was like, what does he do?
His pictures tell 1,000 words, but you won't.
I mean, it makes
but his lame. Victims
Chester,
don't.
Would you like to see my photo album? Oh, my God. I could just see it. That'd be pretty scary shit.
Now, I hate children's birthdays.
Let's go. Gordon returns to Flamingos, but it's the Junction, and let's see if that old bag still hates
Uncle
him.
Uncle Joe, he's moving kind
of
slow.
You know, a lot of times when he returns, they're like, "Oh, hey, Gordon," or whatever. But they were having a blast at this place. They're all fun and laughter. Let's check it out.
I'm back at the Junction in White House Station, New Jersey.
Look who's here.
How are you?
Oh, I'm hanging in there.
Oh, my God. First of all, it's great to see you. Really good to see you.
Sure?
I'm seriously. Do you feel the same way?
I love you.
That, you what?
You see the smile?
Okay, good. Good, good, good. Now, most important question for me. I've been thinking about it all the way up here.
Uh-huh.
Do you still hate me?
I never hated you.
Are you happier?
I'm ecstatic.
What makes you happy?
When I see my restroom full.
Okay, good. Right, what are you going
to
have?
Start up with something to drink. Sex on the beach.
Sex on... Sex on the beach? What's that?
You never had sex on the beach?
Oh, I did in Florida.
Ah, Gordon fell for
my wife, yes. But I wasn't drinking.
I was like, yeah, I did with my wife.
Of course my mother, with her sense of humor, had to order sex on the beach.
Whilst I was here... We had some good times and we had some bad times. What was the best time for you?
I guess when you walked in the door.
You really mean that?
Yeah.
What was the worst time for you?
When you called me Madam Grumpy.
What about the bonfire?
It wasn't when you called her the old bag?
It was very important.
I think the older you get, the harder it is to adapt to change. Gordon changed all three of us into having to think differently.
Cheryl, you're charismatic. You've got beautiful eyes. You've got scary nails. You're very pretty. Why can't you date men?
You know what a Guido is.
A Guido, yeah.
That's what she's looking for.
The guy of my dreams will come up to me and say, hey, how you doing? My name's Tony. Are you single?
there? Where's Cousin Anthony?
I've got a long journey home, and I'd love to take out and buy totally one of those pies to take back to my children.
Here's apple crumb.
Apple crumb.
Or Humple.
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 Hold on, where'd that name come from? Humple.
No one
too did. Many sex on the beach cocktails. Humple. What's Humple?
Pumpkin and apple.
Humble pie.
You know we want to be different.
Honestly, yeah, you're definitely different. You, my sir, you deserve to be knighted. Honestly.
Oh, that was right on. I tell her all the time I should get a medal being with you all the time.
You're such a bitch.
Oh,
I should be knighted.
God, I can't believe Gordon brought Willie the alligator back.
Willie's back.
Willie?
What do you mean, no?
That's Willie my alligator.
Trust me.
Gordon burned
the daughter's
Willie,
played by Ileana Douglas.
She's very nice.
I thought it was a new Willie.
Maybe
comedian,
we'll name the new alligator Willie the Second, or maybe Gordy.
Ah.
Wow. She's still a firecracker. But for me, the good news is Adele has embraced changes, and it looks like the Junction is back on track big time. All she has to do now is get that 43-year-old daughter out of the house. My God. Still living at home.
He did the thing where he walks away, still living at home and nodding his
head.
I
like the train.
Yeah, what is with the daughter's laughter? She laughs like a certain cartoon character, Stephen. Tell me if you know who it is.
<It's Muttley. laughs>
I was like, oh my God, what is that, that laugh? It's like, whoa, high-pitched whistle.
Her mom is Dick Dastardly.
I could never even do that just on purpose. Can you?
No. Stephen has to be able to.
I'm trying.
He has to. Come do on, it, Stephen.
Which is better? Or the Muttley laugh? I'd rather have the Muttley laugh, actually.
Yeah, the other one's wheeze. Almost creepy. Especially if a guy did it, I think it'd be even creepier.
I love, by the way, in Face Off, I love later on after that whole exchange how she wants to punch her. Later on, she laughed about something across the room, and they cut to that girl just looking at her. Like, I know what she's thinking. She wants to hit her. But I thought the Kitchen Nightmares, what was different is usually it's narrated the whole time by the narrator guy, but this time it was Gordon just sitting in a chair like, I remember when I went to the Junction of Flamingos, and he talked about the whole thing. And I thought that was a breath of fresh air for Kitchen Nightmares, because usually it is recapping everything. But there was that place called Bazzini's, Bill. Bazzini?
And Bazzini.
Gordon shows up there to see how everything's going. Do you guys remember this one? The guy was kind of a dick.
Yeah.
And didn't he have like a cooking class or something? And Gordon showed up there and he had the pie lady who he fought with. Well, Gordon shows up to see how Bazzini's doing. Let's check this out. And I think it's hilarious when he talks to the lady on the phone. She doesn't believe it's Gordon, I guess. It's pretty funny.
When I arrived at Bazzini's last year, Chef Paul gave me excuse after excuse. And I left him all the tools to succeed. Now it's time to find out what he did with them. Right. No. I said one thing I told him to do is stay open for lunch. And that is not open. I know one person that will tell me exactly what's going on.
Hello.
Sharon? Gordon Ramsay.
Holy get out of here. You're full of it.
Listen, I'm standing outside Bazzini's. What are you doing for lunch?
Close for lunch, breakfast, supper. It's closed, dude.
What? Closed for good? Dude. That's ridiculous. And listen, where are you?
Walford, New Jersey.
Okay.
I was shocked that Gordon called me on the phone.
Okay, I'm going to come over.
But you know, I always said from the day he left Bazzini's, one of these days my phone's going to ring and it's going to be Gordon Ramsay on the other end. So you see, you never know.
I think that would be too, guys.
What the hell?
When I first saw Gordon, I was thrilled that he came to visit. He looked really hot.
What happened?
It closed like after the show.
Sadly,
aired,
you can't say the
never
same
had a
for
lunch
you.
Service, never. From the day I was that fabulous waitress, I was late one day and he got all pissy and throwing all over the place and being nasty, and I just got pissed off and I said, I'm out of here. I just couldn't work there.
So everything you did for him.
Right. Listen, I don't wish anybody badly, but I was really good to him and he wasn't nice to me.
Oh, shit.
So Bazinas is close.
Finito.
So when he was visiting with her, she said she now baked stuff, but it didn't look like a store. What was she doing? Was it like a...
Or she like kind of supplies some little restaurants or something around.
But he was like, oh, it's amazing cupcake or something. I don't know. But when they do those revisiting shows, I don't know. Sometimes it's fun to see what happened to the place.
There's always one. At least one that closed.
But you know what's funny is she said that he never did what Gordon said. As soon as he left, he's like, we're not open for lunch. Screw that. Just funny.
That was the guy that he didn't have it in him anymore. Yeah. And that was obvious.
He was like, I was kind of touched when that episode or whatever went up, and he goes, Gordon, I can't even look my kids in the eyes. And I felt really bad for the guy. And he goes, well, I hope you turn it around or whatever. And he thought he did, but as soon as the TV cameras are off, he's like, nah, let's just close the place.
I don't care.
But I'm so glad the Junction is still in business and Willie the Alligator came back. Because, you know, in hindsight, when they said, well, let us keep Willie, my alligator, he goes, no, you need to get rid of that too. And it's like, there's no reason he couldn't have let them just keep it and take it home, but he put it in the fire. And it's funny, they kept showing like a close-up of the alligator right in the middle of the bonfire, like his head on fire. It's like,
where the hell did they find a new one?
He had it made, and it wasn't a wooden one. It was like a
stuffed animal.
Like a stuffed animal kind of thing where they made it look just like Willie. And he's like, Willie's back! That's funny. All right, look, we're going to talk about Top Chef real quick, Bill, and then we're going to take a break, okay?
All right.
Because I was actually shocked by the outcome of this episode. But I know why it happens. If you make bad food, you get eliminated no matter who you are. And you kind of got to get past on how well somebody did on their previous season. You know?
Yeah.
And what I thought was interesting is, remember last week I was talking about why didn't Fabio ask Richard for help with the hamburger thing, because they're good buddies, and they even mention how Richard, he helps people too much. He needs to let them just do it themselves, and if they crash and burn, they do. And it started.
And he has Flip Burger in Atlanta.
Yeah, and this episode started out with Richard kind of being bummed out about Fabio, and then the Elmo and Cookie Monster and Telly show up. Thought that was pretty cool.
I didn't even know Telly was still around.
Oh, yeah, you got Telly there. I was pretty pissed Ernie wasn't there.
Give another breathy laugh.
Is Ernie considered a monster?
No, he's just a dude.
Just a dude.
Ernie, you're a monster.
He is.
Depends
a
on who you talk to on Sesame Street.
Oh, that guy, man. He's bossing people around.
That Ernie's a real monster.
No, but then they do this Target thing, and this is one of those things where, does it have to do with their cooking skills or...
Yeah, I hate these kind of challenges.
Where they're, you guys don't get any sleep and you got to do this. I don't understand why everyone did soup, but I don't know. I almost go by what Angelo said where he said he's just mentally tired. But let's just check this out.
Fabio had the weakest dish of the day, and I feel awful because he's a great friend of mine. I wish he would have consulted with me. I run a burger restaurant. If he would have spent 10 minutes and sat down with me, he'd probably still be here.
I'm going traditional chocolate chip cookie. There's cinnamon and chocolate chunks.
Me like the texture.
I thought maybe it was cardamom. No.
Very close. Cinnamon and cardamom actually grow in the same part of the world.
No.
Really?
TMI.
Next cookie.
Monster. So I made a pretzel and potato chip shortbread, glazed them with caramel and chocolate.
It starts off really sweet, and then it gets kind of salty at the end. That's kind of fun.
Delicious. Nom, 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 nom.
So I'm calling this an ice cream cookie. So I made ice cream with zucchini and mint.
It technically is that cookie.
You're pulling my leg. I'm trying, right?
It actually isn't a cookie. It's an ice cream disc.
Let's talk cookies. How was that? Was that fun?
Oh, yeah, we had a lot of fun. Delicious.
Who needed a little help?
me had little issue with that, Richard.
Really? Yeah, what's
it, that? It's technically it not quite cookie.
You know, he's an expert. He's the cookie monster. You don't want to be called out in a cookie challenge by Cookie Monster. So I'm a little disappointed.
Number two, our favorite is Antonia.
Antonia.
Thank you.
They only cookie around here that chewy gooey. Yeah.
Now, frankly, it wasn't the prettiest cookie I've ever seen.
It looked like cow chips. Cow chips. My cookie.
So I did a simple version of the spicy tomato soup, and it's grilled cheese with a little seared sliced ribeye on it. But I used two steaming irons to kind of give a nice sear on the top and warm them through. Enjoy, guys. Thank you very much.
You got a good crunch on it.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, it's brilliant. Using an iron. I think he's thinking.
I think he's going for that late night comfort zone or food. I'm giving this guy a urine test.
Maybe Dale's trying to become an iron chef.
Angelo, just way too much salt. You lost your focus, didn't taste everything in that final second that got by you. It's really hard to see any one of you go home, but as you know, in this competition, one bad dish will send you packing.
Angelo, please pack your knives and go.
Oh my gosh.
Thank you so much.
Tiffany thought she was toast.
Very humbling and amazing experience for me, and I'm truly honored. Thank you. I've made over 40 dishes, you know, almost back to back. That's a lot, and I think I'm just mentally fried.
All right, guys.
What?
Are you serious?
Yeah.
You?
Oh, my God. Mike was, like, in shock. What? No, send Tiffany home. No.
That's terrible.
But, you know, if you have something that's really salty, it's just inedible and you're screwed. Even if somebody, yeah. It's better, I say, to be
spicy.
Or when you say, I don't know if necessarily not have a lot of taste, that's pretty bad too. But salt is just the death knell, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Just way too salty.
I have to take umbrage with the genius level of Dale using an iron for the grilled cheese, because doesn't Michael Keaton do that in Mr. Mom? Mm-hmm.
Johnny Depp does it in Benny and June, too.
Yeah, so you know what? It ain't genius. That genius.
No, it's something he did in college, I guess.
Oh, and doesn't my
kind of
God.
The iron for any other use?
And what I kept thinking about it, he goes, I won on grilled cheese and tomato soup. And that's why I was thinking... That's why this competition, when it does stuff like this, that basically he screwed up the least on their ridiculous target contest, you know?
Well, it's all just one big advertisement.
Yeah, it's like, hey, Target, it supplies all these things, and it's open 24 hours, or I don't know.
That's but, why I hate that type of episode.
Yeah, when they're like, guys, we need to kind of, you know, pay for the show. But all I know
or like
is...
they promote something. Like they did the same thing with the where they had to stay the night at the Smithsonian for some kids
right.
thing.
Right, yeah.
It's always a promotion.
But I'm still looking for Richard to win. What about you guys? Or
I hope so. Now that Angelo's gone, that's certainly...
He was pretty good competition, I thought. He would go down the wire. That's why I was kind of shocked by that. Even Mike, what? You? No. I don't believe it. Oh, my God.
I don't see Mike lasting that much longer.
Yeah, I don't think that guy's that great.
All right. And I wasn't really impressed with Dale's cookie. I was surprised that he won. I mean, it was there was pretzel, potato chips.
It had potatoes in it.
Tato bag.
Guys, let's take a break and we'll be right back and talk about some other stuff. All right, guys?
Cool.
All right.
I do some of my best thinking on the toilet bowl, so let me take a seat. Let me think.
Sometimes I don't want my kids watching what's on TV, but they can still watch something great with our RCA video disc player and video disc. Just flip a switch and on our TV, our kids can see the magic of Walt Disney and Charlie Brown, the Muppets and Mickey Mouse, the Black Stallion, Star Trek, and lots more. Starting at only $15, and the player costs less than $500.
Hello, Charlie Brown!
Bring the magic home on RCA.
really good.
They are great.
Fruit?
Fruit corners, fruit bars.
I think they're kind of cute.
Fruit corners, fruit bars. So good.
It's ugly. Ah!
Can it be knocking at my door?
Kids Incorporated, starring only kids for kids of all ages. Kids singing the super hits of superstars.
Heartbreaker, dreammaker.
Every Saturday morning, they bring lots of fun and rock and roll to TV 12. Watch Kids Incorporated every Saturday morning at 10:30 on TV 12.
Getting in the drugs and being high is a stupid thing to do. Be an original and take a stand. You're free to say no. Don't let a friend put you in. Taking drugs, you got a right to say no.
TV or MTV?
TV or MTV?
TV or MTV?
There's only one thing that keeps TV from being MTV. This, great video music, crazy game shows and dance shows, MTV news and specials. Everybody loves TV, but sometimes you gotta ask yourself, TV or MTV?
I want my MTV.
Be at the Schaefer's, okay?
Remember, no parties.
Sure, Dad. Yes, they're gone. Come over.
I can't believe they went home.
Great. Just great.
I love tortilla chips, but they can be a little heavy.
But now there's Sincheros. Sincheros light and crispy because they're made by Pequeños Quibleros.
The Quiblerels make Sincheros, authentic stone-ground corn tortilla chips, made extra thin, light and crispy. Original, nacho, salsa.
Sincheros.
Sincheros light and crispy because
they're made by Pequeños Quibleros.
Can you dig it?
Superman!
Hi, I'm Raggedy Ann.
And I'm Raggedy Andy.
Garfield and Friends!
Not me.
Gotta love the feeling
when Sunday rocks on CBS!
A Big Mac attack could strike at any time.
Warning. Warning. Big Mac attack.
Mr. Jeffries.
Please proceed immediately to the nearest McDonald's.
Watch your head!
Big Mac? All systems returning to normal.
You know, waffles are my most favorite sustenance. I love how Burger King flame broils them to give them such a juicy tastefulness.
How do they do it in your country?
You do not want to know. It is too unspeakable. Ah, oh, come on.
Fun.
How they do it is they fry them.
That's how some places here do it.
No. You are joking me. No.
We do it like you do it when we do it like we do it at Burger King.
My students think I'm stubborn, over-demanding, and that's putting it politely. They know they've got to do it right or not at all. But that's why they signed up for this class.
You're the one we want to please. Cable gives the choice to you, the who, what, and when it's right for you.
Cable TV challenges me, keeps me thinking, and lets us share a few good moments together. That's something we all deserve.
Cable's right.
Cause cable's not just more choice, it's your choice.
The big games tonight. How do you start them off right?
Ravioli. Thank goodness for Chef Boyardee.
She wants a treat, but what's good to eat?
Spaghetti and meatballs. Thank goodness for Chef Boyardee.
She
sure they love it. And it's good for them, too, because we use the good ingredients you would, with no preservatives. Want to watch out for fats and things like that?
Beefaroni.
Thank goodness for Chef Boyardee. Thank goodness for Chef Boyardee.
Watch out. Taco Bell's gonna give you the works.
The works are three new combination platters just made for you. They're really saucy,
big and beefy,
cheddar cheesy,
crispy crunchy.
When you're getting really hungry, ask for the works.
Each for about $3.
Beanie, beanie,
go for beanie.
Happy, happy,
mighty, mighty,
absolutely,
very tasty.
Now you're getting really hungry.
Ask for the works.
Oh, yeah.
Ask for the works.
Uh-huh.
Ask for the works.
It's 3:42 when afternoon practice means afternoon hunger.
If I'm dancing and I'm hungry, I eat a Snickers, and then I can dance again.
The first step is eating the Snickers bar and getting rid of my hunger so I can get on to the next step, which is playing ball.
You know, my mom will keep Snickers in the cabinet in the kitchen, you know, and I'll go get one, and it fills me up, pushing through till dinner.
Snickers, crunchy peanuts, peanut butter nougat, caramel, and milk chocolate.
I'm so hungry.
Packed with peanuts, Snickers really satisfies.
Meet Alex Trebek. He's friendly, fun, and
he knows all the right people.
Join the king of classic concentration weekdays.
Get ready to faint, everyone. Because right now, Wendy's Quarter Pound Hamburger, regular fries and medium drink are just $1.99. That's $1.99. $1.99 for Wendy's delicious meal combo. You'll faint because Wendy's combo is just $1.99. You heard it right. $1.99. So get ready to faint, everyone. Wendy's meal combo is just $1.99. If you don't faint, you'll jump up and down a lot for Wendy's $1.99 combo.
Chicken Little's just a-walking down the street singing,
do a diddy diddy dum diddy do.
Kentucky Fried Chicken's got my favorite thing to eat singing,
do a diddy diddy dum diddy do.
They look good,
look good,
taste fine,
taste fine.
Only 39 cents,
gotta have them all the time.
Kentucky Fried Chicken's new Chicken Little sandwiches. They cost just a little, but people love them a lot.
Do a diddy diddy dum.
You'll love the first bite, outrageously right. New Kudos granola snacks. Pleasing, teasing, Kudos, I'm yours.
I'm yours!
Nutty Fudge, chocolate chip or peanut butter. Kudos, you won me over any other. Electrifying, granola-fying. Simply nutritious, outrageously delicious.
Some lactate and sliced banana.
Oh, yum. Hey, Bill, something funny happened here during the break.
What?
I was leaning over in my chair, you know, my office chair, computer chair.
Yes.
And it gave way.
Oh, no.
It broke. And I was like, and like just holding on to the chair behind me. And I was like trying to balance myself. And I was just stuck. Steven had to help.
Was it the base or
the top part?
The base welds on to the bottom of the chair. Okay, yeah, that always happens to me. I go through like a desk, like a chair like that, maybe one every year or so.
This, I mean, the thing has been loose for a while, and I just haven't gotten a new one. I'm like, yeah, it's okay. Until the day it isn't okay anymore.
That's what happens. Yep.
It wasn't okay anymore.
Sex on the beach.
Huh? Sex on the beach? What's that? You can't tell me Gordon, after traveling so many places,
he's
didn't know what that was. He's just
He's just pulling that old lady. Egging her on.
All right, Bill, what did you think of the cape this week? The Lich.
I loved how dark it was, and it really screwed with you on where it was going and who these characters were.
You know, I almost think of the villains as different kinds of villains like Batman has, like a rogues gallery of villains. You know, of course, you have the main villain who, would you say that Chess is kind of like a Lex Luthor kind of kingpin kind of villain?
Absolutely.
And then like one of the lower rent villains is Scales. He's one of the more freakish kind of guys who's lower rent. And then, you know, what we have Dice, who doesn't really, she wouldn't really be much of a threat, really. I don't know what she was. But then, what was it last week?
Who was she? Was lame. That's what she was.
Yes. I mean, every superhero has a week, a month's issue where you're like, kind of a lame villain this week, you know. What was it last week? I'm trying to remember. Oh, and also, my favorite villain so far was that one escape artist guy. I thought he was really cool. But this week, there's something called the Lich.
Man, I'm blanking. Could totally.
I know. What was it
last I'm trying to help you out, and I'm just completely blanking.
Oh, I remember now. It was Goggles and Hicks.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah, Goggles and Hicks, and that was the Russian guy, the escapist.
Yeah, I thought he was
and
really cool.
And we still don't know where he is.
Yeah, I don't understand how you could hold him anywhere because he's a genius escapist.
And Goggles is on Owl Island.
Right.
Okay.
And
right, I'm just trying to get my mind right here.
So the Lich is some kind of like a urban myth in that city, I guess. And so, like, he's
the quintessential boogeyman.
No, that's Jason, oh. I thought. No, but one point, Vince says they have a file with any kind of explain things. It goes in the Lich file. Kind of like their X-Files or something. So it starts out with the Tom Noonan, the Tooth Fairy from Manhunter. He's always been a good creepy guy, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's fantastic.
He blows this stuff in this lady, and she's dead. Or is she? She comes out of the ground.
A la Serpent in the Rainbow.
Yeah, Alarola is like, you know, think she's a zombie or something. But there's one point here where they discover, I guess the hypnotist in the Carnival of Crime, he goes into her brain and tries to help her remember stuff, and she remembers she was in the subway area. And that's when Vince, Rollo, and Max check it out.
Look where this X is marked. That's tomorrow.
Founders Day. So the parade route for the Founders Day parade floats. That's 40,000 people on the street. That truck back there, it had sprayers on the back, right?
Yeah.
My guess is to take the same neurotoxin that iced your friend Janet and spray it on the crowd.
Try to be more sensitive here, Vince.
This is the staging area for a terrorist attack.
Terrorist zombies? Now that's a bad combination.
Well, while we're out there looking for this Lich or whoever it is, someone better call off this parade.
I know someone.
Hands! Now!
Put the gun down.
Show me your hands. I will blow another hole into that mask.
I got evidence of a homegrown terrorist threat to Palm City. I need you to cancel the Founders Day parade.
Off your say, sir. No. Not likely.
The Lich is real. All over Palm City, this people are getting dosed with a psychoactive neurotoxin that gives the appearance of death. They're targeting the parade. The family's gonna be there. Your family. Your kids. So you want to worry about me or the Lich? Because I can't do this alone.
You know what? I like that there was more cape this week, like him using the cape and stuff, because it seems like he hadn't been doing that as much lately, didn't it?
Yeah.
I'd like to see him have...
to budget out their effects a bit.
Yeah, it's like... Yeah. Well, last week he had the cape, but he didn't really have the full outfit on. And he was more doing, like, punching and stuff. But I was... So basically the founders, somebody who founded the city, the family, the guy has been locked away in an institution where he...
He's the last son of the
Chandlers.
Right, and I don't know who did it. Was it the Chess who made it look like he was never born or something?
I think it was actually his mother.
His mother was like a nut job or something?
No, because he has that.
Yeah, we're entering a territory before we get there kind of thing. If we got to explain how he was there, we got to kind of give up that he's the Lich.
Right. And
he's got that.
His mother put him away because he had that skin disease.
Yeah, he's a freakish looking.
He looks like he's dead.
So, yeah, like a necrosis.
And so he's been lurking around the city all these years, I guess, doing weird shit. Unless the other lich stuff in the lich file isn't related.
I don't think he's leaving. He's having all his henchmen do all of it, so he's
right. He can control them.
No, because he saw the girl. He was in that subway because she was describing his face. He was dead.
Gotcha.
So he gets out and about. He's just. We don't know if he's done everything in the lich file.
And they wanted to lure Orwell there, I guess. And Ileana Douglas, who's also on Kitchen Nightmares this week, she was in this episode too.
Without the tan and the nails.
Yeah, without the scary nails. So
now, I had a question. That clip you played, and I had to rewind it when I was watching it too. When he's in his old friend's car, does his old friend know that's Vince?
I thought I heard him say Vince.
I think when he may not have said Vince, but he kind of, when he says the Lich, that made me think what you said sounds like the Vince, but.
No, just as he enters, whenever he enters the car and says something, he goes, he reacts, and it sounds like he said Vince.
Yeah, I don't think he does.
Okay, I would think it just sounded like
I would think that he would know that he's a cop
now, you know.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Yeah, I don't know how he doesn't recognize his voice if they've been friends for so long.
Yeah. I mean, if it was the other way around and the black guy was the cape, I'd be like, hey, you're my friend, because that voice
is... Dude, you're my black friend.
My black friend who needs, a lozenge.
Cow chips!
You need cow chips, apparently. All right, but anyway, it ended on a cliffhanger, and I was like, wow, this is cool, because, it was more of a serious episode and stuff.
Yeah, and I loved the entire episode, you assume that Tom Noonan is the Lich.
Mm-hmm.
And then that reveal at the end that he's actually been dosed, and he was a psychiatrist at that hospital.
Yeah, and I love that Vince at the end, he's like, I'm an idiot. I didn't have any of this figured out the whole time. I thought that was cool. I would almost think I don't know if the cape will be around for another season, but it would be cool how, a lot of the first season is him learning, and then season two comes along and he's more of a badass because he's learned from all of his mistakes and stuff. Wouldn't that be cool?
I would love that. I would love that so much.
I want him to have some kind of utility belt. Like he finds out he needs certain things and he adds to it or whatever. Wouldn't that be cool?
Oh, and this week we finally saw that Chess or Peter Fleming is actually a dual personality.
Right. Yeah. Like, we had our suspicions, but then he sees him across from him, and he's like, go away. So that was pretty neat, wasn't it?
Yeah, I like that.
That's cool. All right, unfortunately...
Yeah, when that happened, I was like, Bill was right.
Yeah, we had our suspicions. Now, Bill, I'm sorry to do this. There's not that many episodes left. Let's talk about Smallville.
Son of a bitch.
I know. I'm sorry, Bill.
It was so good.
If you guys want to go back, I never watched Smallville, but Steven, you and Bill watched it. I was like, I'm going to watch this. We're going to start covering it on the show. So you guys created a monster. That's just so I want you to know.
Yes, we did.
You started this?
Jason is, I think, the quintessential boogeyman.
Watching it early.
Well, you know what? I watched it from the beginning. I will totally admit, because I'm a Spider-Man. Jesus.
Why would you watch this then?
Yeah. I'm a Superman geek.
Yeah. No. There's a bit. Let's be honest here. In the history of Smallville, there have been sprinkled out some cool episodes from time to time. We've even admitted it on the show. This episode wasn't bad.
Yeah, but they're few and far between.
Chester's photography. The picture says 1,000 words. His victims say none.
Yeah, I'd rather watch Chester's photography.
I like the early days because it was like Superman Dawson's Creek.
Right, and doesn't it seem like... It seems like they're in a hurry.
They're in a big damn hurry.
This is like... They brought back 13. Lionel Luthor from the alternate universe where Fringe takes place, apparently.
to do absolutely nothing.
He's there because he made mistakes with the sun.
Airships and they're not there.
Yeah, where are the blimps? Damn it! But
how am I going to get to Smallville from?
They found a way to get Lex back on the show by having him grow rapidly into an adult by, I guess, the final episode of Michael Rosenbaum back. And, you know, I wanted to say something about that, like on Ain't It Cool News. What's that guy's name who does the TV stuff, the coaxial bill?
Oh, Hercules.
When I said that. He was like, Rosenbaum says no to
Smallville finale.
And if you read the feedback, F him, like he's got anything else to do. He just pissed on the fans and all that. It goes down and down, like people like angry at him. Next day, retraction, Rosenbaum will be in the finale. Oh, he read what we said. He changed his mind.
I like that they think that he's pissing on the fans and not the show itself.
Yeah, like, you know, I remember, like, there's a thread at AVS about Smallville. And I did what we joked about on the show before. You know, like, we make jokes about Smallville, and I said something about the episode, whatever it was, and someone was like, if you don't like it, don't watch it. And it's like, no, I can watch it if I want to. And if it's stupid, I can mention it, okay? It does no. If you don't like it, you don't watch it.
This is a fan-only, nothing but positive comment forum.
This is a carte blanche forum, right?
Okay.
Yes. I don't know. But
French on me.
Let's check this scene out where I guess they're trying to get the word out about supporting superheroes instead of being against them.
God, was this. This was, like, excruciatingly lame.
Where, like, Lois is going to get the printing press out of the... Why don't you just have a website or whatever? Or tweet it. Go on Twitter.
Go down to Kinko's. Yeah, just have a bunch of copies
you
made.
You can print it at home on your printer, on your computer or whatever. All right, let's check this out.
Lois, why am I at my alma mater? How am I supposed to be protecting my heroes off the grid if I'm totally on everybody's radar? What's with all the Woodward and Bernstein? Actually, more like Perry and White. These are Perry's files. Oh. That explains the smell of Old Spice and Young Ambition. I think they are campaigning right now.
Actually, I'd rather be writing. But no one wants to print pro-hero prose. I need an inspiration, a way to blow down those power puff pieces piling up against the blur.
And then it hit me. Like a banner headline.
Go back to the
Go
head.
Go gorilla.
Do they listen to this?
Bad banana jokes aside, Lois, do you really think that you and I passing out a bunch of pamphlets is going to actually defeat the VRA? Actually, I had a different idea. I just need you to hack into a couple of national news websites.
Okay.
How many?
All of them.
The
Huffington Post.
You're looking for the Phantom Zone, Crystal, aren't you?
You sent Slade there, didn't you?
The VRA forced my hand. And when the justice system here is fixed, I'll bring him back to stand trial.
How can you be so good, Clark?
Because no one taught him to hate.
Like Such Lionel a nice taught guy. Me.
Alexander.
But don't worry. I took care of my father.
Why isn't he Lex yet? Is that when he's fully grown?
Too,
right now he's Alexander.
What did you do?
He's still adolescent.
Clark.
I know that sound anywhere.
His name gets shorter.
Part of growing
bigger.
Up is letting go of your parents, Clark. Something you've always struggled with.
Where are they?
Hey, bravo to this kid. It's the first time he's ever acted. Doing a pretty good job, right?
Or what's left of it. Since
Better
it's burning to the ground,
Green Arrow's first.
You're not a killer, not yet.
Thought he made himself clear.
Can't come back.
I'm the last Lex Luthor.
How do you know?
After I die, there's no coming back.
There's multiple universes, right, Bill?
Alexander.
Exactly.
No! Tess, I am done with all of you.
Okay, come on.
Thank you.
The inflection was in the wrong spot, but we get it.
Always making yourself look better by making me look like some kind of monster.
You're not him.
Again, a little off.
Everybody You're like
else,
Elmo.
But look who has the gun in their hand.
Cal Chips!
I know how you feel. After living in the darkness for so long, you feel like you can't step into the light.
Although she said you can't see.
Because it makes you feel ashamed.
You have to wear sunglasses.
When
but
you
Clark
walk into the wall,
that changed
you only
everything
know you can't see.
He can do the same thing for you.
But
Why would you want to help me?
Oh, Clark is their savior.
I'm your enemy. We've been locked in battle for years.
You're not locked into anything.
You're a little kid, you dumbass.
And that's Tess.
I don't even know who the hell you are, kid.
I do. And I know that I'm not perfect. But I'll always be there for you.
Thought I made myself clear. You were only to use violence if you were in danger.
You know, I think it's funny. He tells Clark, he goes, if you're, you know, your mom is there too. I set the mansion on fire. They could be dead. I don't know. And he goes, you're not a killer yet. He's like, no, let me stop you there. They could be dead right now.
We
I set fire
to a
place.
Killer yet.
Unless, Clark, you have psychic powers now and you can tell they're okay.
You're Clark, not, you should never assume.
You make an ass out of you and yourself pretty much. Nobody else, just yourself. Wow. Smallville. So we'll see what else happens.
Just awful.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it ended with Tess.
From the beginning, I can't. It's you have to acclimate yourself to it because you go in like, okay, let's see what we got this week, and then it like,
you know what
the
sucks,
bad
Bill?
Dialogue stabs you in the gut.
Well, what sucks, Bill?
It's the overly trying to be witty.
Think about you know, think about Lost or you know, Friday Night Lights just ended. You know, the final seasons were special. This, I can't wait for this shit to be over.
Yeah, exactly.
It shouldn't be that way. Should it?
No.
No, but it's Smallville. It's what we've come to expect from it.
Yeah. It's just sad that they couldn't, you know,
like, how did the,
surprise us. You know, like, wow, I'm really surprised. This season has been awesome. I love how they have really done this stuff. But no, it's just been like...
It's like they've told the story really well. No.
Yeah.
And the problem is they're just not even trying. They just like to be like, well, what kind of, you know, inane banter can we have this
week?
Yeah,
let's have Chloe rattle off some shit that'll be funny. And it's like, it's not funny.
Not funny.
Yeah, I like the line of Woodward and Bernstein. I think half the audience probably just went, who?
Yeah, more like Perry and White.
Who?
Yeah, that makes sense.
It was a double who.
Makes me violent.
Exactly.
All right. The show does make me violent.
Let's talk about Fringe, a show that doesn't make us violent.
It does creep me out like that, though.
You know, her character should have been Giggle Girl. And they'd be like, and the whole judges table would have been like, oh, shit, that just sent a shiver down my spine.
She means business.
No, even the photographer could have had it. Like, smile.
She may be laughing, but she means business.
And you know, the girl with the earlobes would have been like, it actually scared her. That little earlobe girl's laying in bed one night and she hears that, like, under her bed.
You know, I don't know whether she's got a boyfriend or a girlfriend, you know, but they should record that when she comes back home and play that.
Totally. Just F with her. Now, this was an alternate universe Fringe where it's the faux Livia side. And one thing I liked about this, see if you guys noticed this, Bill and I were talking about the witty banter that's between those, you know, Olivia and Charlie and the other guy. What's his name?
Yeah, what is the other guy's name?
They're always, like, joking around and stuff. And I was saying, you know, they have better camaraderie on this show as these alternate characters than they do on most shows for the main characters. You know what I mean?
And Olivia's much less screwed up in the head as the real Olivia.
Right.
Like, she's just more light and airy.
And they have all this crazy shit going on, you know, in their world, and they seem to be able to make light of it. Like, there was this funny part here where, I mean, it was kind of gross at the beginning where the bugs come out of the guy. That's pretty nasty. And then when Charlie goes to visit the bug girl, and she seems to be attracted to him.
I like the bug girl.
That was pretty funny.
The bug girl's cute.
Let's check this out.
Hey, I heard they're rerouting all the flights from Newark. Bomb scare?
Nope. Spontaneous bug eruption. A guy named Harry Millman, 42 years old. Mm-hmm. They found him in the bathroom. Bugs had eaten their way from the inside out.
Oh, fabulous. Gosh, I was just here last night picking up Frank. So, bugs.
Yep.
Ugh, you know how I feel about bugs.
Not Charlie. Charlie loves bugs.
Why do people have time about it?
New boss is here.
How is it that when you say boss, it sounds like insubordination?
You see, that's my tone. Maybe that's why I didn't get the promotion.
Yeah, maybe. We're also better than you.
Okay, so they're pretty, but what are they?
No idea. We've been through, what, 3 different insect databases. We still can't find a match.
Apparently the bugs don't live outside the body too long. And if somebody had been infected, we would have heard about it by now.
Yeah, maybe, maybe not.
Maybe some kind of mutant insect bit him? Laid eggs under his skin?
That's comforting.
Looks like we got a live one.
French Division. I'm Agent Olivia Dunham, and this is Agent...
Agent Charlie Foster. Francis. I'm Foster. Mona Foster.
We met before?
I treated you for your arachnid infestation. I'm not surprised you don't remember me. You were in a lot of pain. So, how are the spiders?
They're good. Sometimes they just itch a little bit.
Maybe you just need someone to scratch it.
Where did you find this?
At the Empire docking station.
It's kind of an unusual habitat for beetles.
They ate their way out of a person.
Interesting. Wait here a minute.
Don't even start with me. Don't.
The girl's got a crush on Charlie.
What girl has a crush on the fact that I got spiders in my blood, kiddo?
Come on, everybody's looking for someone who's going to like them for who they are inside, right?
Are you kidding me right now?
Skelter beetle. Mansonian bubliosis. Which answers one question but raises a whole bunch of others.
Such as?
Such as, how is this here? Skelter beetles are parasitic. They lived exclusively in sheep.
Sheep.
And given that all the sheep died out 10 years ago...
The bugs died with them.
What was it doing inside of a person?
There, you know, the guy was a scientist who... What was he trying to cure again? I'm trying to remember.
Shit.
He was making some vaccine and they...
Yeah, it was a vaccine for something.
It was avian flu. And apparently that's really hit their world bad. And he had some great success, and he was right on the brink of finding a cure when the sheep's died off, and that's where the beetles... So he was trying to make them where they could breed in humans.
I feel bad for him, because no more lamb chops.
No more lamb chops, no more leg of lamb, no more kebabs, no more
sweaters, I guess.
Sweaters.
No, and there was the one part that was kind of just creepy is when he gave the guy stuff in the diner. He's like, hey, what you working on or whatever, and he slipped him something. And the guy was like, you know, puking up bugs or whatever over the landing of the street or whatever, and he was holding like a bucket thing, like collecting all the bugs, like all happy and giddy. And I was like,
the guy was just trying to be nice.
That's some nasty shit. And so the guy's trying to cure avian flu, and so... And he wants to be
is
like...
Is that the water flu?
Yeah, avian flu, And one thing is like...
Avian.
He keeps saying how all these other scientists, you know...
Jonas Salk.
Yeah, people had to die for them to find a cure. And so it's not that big a deal. And he gives... It is pretty creepy when he gives Olivia some water and she drinks it. You're like, don't drink that shit!
Yeah.
And so you think she's infected and... My dad gave away this on Facebook, of all things. I hadn't yet watched it. You know, it comes on tonight. But, I watched Fringe, like, on Tuesday this week. But it was like, I don't know, when did he post it or whatever? He wrote something like, I guess Olivia's pregnant with Peter's baby. And I was like, what? Why is he writing this shit on Facebook like that?
Wait a second. When did he do that?
Just like on Monday or it might have even been Saturday or something. But I was just like, what? Don't do that shit. And I go, Dad, that's called a spoiler. And you just spoiled it for me. Hello? You know, I want to find out for myself because it was a great reveal in the show. How did they
he just felt the need to share it with all his digital friends?
I guess so. He doesn't know how to ask questions on there either. He asks himself stuff. But what was funny is...
what's with old people and technology? They should really just stop. Just quit.
When the reveal happens, is she thinks she's infected, and they're like, holy shit, we got to get her out of here.
Sick.
And her fiancé, he's taking her, and she's got something hosting in her body. She's hosting something. And they think it's one of the bugs or whatever, but it turns out to be a baby. And that would have been a great reveal had I not known! But anyway, I like that moment where it showed how much Charlie and the other guy, whose name I can't remember, love Olivia, right? They care about her a lot. And you can tell they both carry a torch for her in some ways, I think. Mm-hmm. They both have feelings for her. Everybody does, I guess. And then, you know, it's pretty brutal, and her poor fiancé who just proposed to her...
Now,
his immaculate conception.
He's a smart guy. He knew on he how long math, he's been yeah. gone. It's like, I didn't get you pregnant. And I love how he's like, so are you in love with a guy? And she just kind of stares at him. It's like, that's not a real good answer. So I'm out of here. And then, you know, at the end. And, you know, one thing is, can we just talk about this? I know it's like, I don't know if it's a stigma or what, but storylines, things happen, right? Mm-hmm. Just because this has happened doesn't mean it's a soap opera, right? You know, people love to say, oh, it's like a soap opera. It's like, no, not exactly. Have you ever watched a soap opera? You know, just because things happen, like people get each other pregnant, guess what? That happens in real life, too, you know?
Well, did you notice in this world, the alternate world, Walter seems to be a little more good, conscious-minded, too.
He didn't want to do experiments.
He didn't want to experiment on kids.
That wasn't that trippy, though? I was like, whoa, that cool. That dude's got telekinetic powers. And he's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. It's like, oh, unfortunately, he doesn't really get to do much with it because...
Well, he got to levitate some stuff.
Yeah, he's like, hey, look, I...
You know, that one dude's like, hey, we can work on kids.
Yeah, he's like, well, I figured out the younger the brain, the more susceptible. And he's like, no, we won't do children.
It's like in our world, Walter did experiment with kids.
Walter was all for it.
And I'm wondering why.
I think it was William Bell that didn't want to work on children.
And I'm wondering why he was so adamant not to have children be experimented on.
Maybe
I know, that's what I'm kind of wondering.
That's one thing this show does is, like, if we knew there's an alternate world – and somebody told us, you know, those are bad guys over there. You would believe it to some extent. I guess it was an authority figure. It's just kind of screwy that, like, for one thing, we've seen a Folivia on our world, like, kill people and stuff.
Well, you know, if you want to think about it, too, in the sense that Walter's child was stolen from him. As,
right. That would make you really pissed off.
And you're like, I can't kill somebody else's child.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Like, do you think that it would be like, you know, if our Walter talked to him and, you know, just sat down like, I just want to tell you how this happened. And, you know, I saved your son or whatever. But then my wife saw him and I was like, I can't break her heart. So let's just keep him here. So sorry, you know.
Yeah, but that would make everything far too easy.
Yeah, it's like, I forgive you. But we also know there's all this other
shit. I was going to bring him back, I swear.
There's this stuff with the machine and, you know, this continuing things happening in their world where it's getting worse and stuff.
And now are you thinking, you know, the DNA from Peter is now over in their world now.
Mm-hmm.
So they can use that on the machine.
It's interesting. And we just need the show to get ratings to stay on the air so we can see the story unfold. That's the thing I'm worried about. Well, that was the final friend. Sorry, we won't do it. Maybe we'll put out some novelizations. And I'll be like, no!
How is it doing on Fridays?
It had been doing well the first two episodes, and I think it dropped a bit this last week.
Yeah, it did.
Ugh. So anyway.
I think people just get bored. It's like I don't know what it is about sci-fi that they just...
It needs to be something where...
The weather got nice and everybody went out.
The president of DirecTV, Bill, like how they just did...
Friday Night Lights.
Yeah, Friday Night Lights and Damages. Like, the president of DirecTV is like, man, I love Fringe. We'll just put it on DirecTV, okay?
I read somewhere that they're not going to save any more shows.
Yeah, they said that. We're going to make our own. Yeah, whatever. If Fringe was in front of you and you could afford to get another season, wouldn't you do it? Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Now, God, they need to go to stars like Spartacus.
I mean, you got a built-in audience.
Yeah. And they have an audience.
It's just not really big.
Hey, it's big enough to have us.
Well,
that's
big
enough, huh?
Well, I mean,
right, guys?
That's right.
For starting your own show, you don't know that you're going to have an audience.
Right.
Spontaneous bug eruption.
Yuck. I don't want to know about that.
I'm only interested in you because you got spiders in your blood.
I want a TV show of this.
The name of the movie is London Twilight.
Ooh. On HBO.
Does that have sparkly vampires in it?
Right after True Blood, London Twilight. It's like, that's a shitty piece. No, no sparkly vampires, Bill. Sparkly Mr. Hyde.
Oh, okay. London.
Or is it Dr. Jekyll? No, Mr. Hyde.
Voodoo Dawn?
No Voodoo Dawn. All right, guys.
Donald. Voodoo
let's talk
Donald.
About
Voodoo he's very
Donald.
Proper.
Voodoo Donald. Voodooed Donald.
I like Voodooed.
All right, Voodoo. Guys.
Good.
Spartacus, Gods of the Arena.
Now, are you guys getting sick of Titus yet? You know what's funny is we know based on Blood and Sand the kind of person Bodiatus and Lucretia are or what they become. But I root for them. Do you guys? I want them to have all the success they want, you know? And
so they can bite it later.
There's a
it's just the way they're taken advantage of, and they have so much ambition, but it's such a shitty environment that they're in.
And it looked like Bodiatus gets his Quintus gets his dad to go slave shopping. Dad, let's go shop for some gladiators. We'll have a father and son thing going on here. And this moment happened here, and there was a little nod to, I thought, to Spartacus, like, about Thracians. Like, here, we have a Thracian for sale, and I thought this is funny. Let's check this out real quick.
And what is this one? See how his form is carved with each muscle building on to the next. A worthy addition to any ludus.
A fine offering, is he not?
I would not waste coin. Man favors his left, revealing injury to the leg.
Unsuitable for men of discerning eye. Let us turn to something of rarer quality. I have a Thracian of the Magi tribe, the likes of which you have...
Thracians are too difficult to control and aggravate the Gauls beyond reason.
My son speaks truth. You offer us piss and claim it wine.
You will find none better in Neapolis.
I better hope your city's drink holds higher standard. Come, let us seek libation to wash taste of shit from mouth.
I love this show!
You know what I was thinking? Like, Laura, you haven't watched the show yet, right?
No.
You're in a really cool position where you can watch Gods of the Arena first and then watch Blood and Sand and watch it happen chronologically. That's cool that you could do that.
That is cool.
And I think you should. You should start with Gods of the Arena and then watch how everything... Like, right now, we know how things turn out, you know? And now we're going back to a prequel. But
I don't know, but the opening of
Gods of the Arena gives
everything away.
Yeah,
that's the only part I've seen is just that part.
Well, we already know that through history, Spartacus led a rebellion. So we know that's about to happen, you know? You just don't know how it happens. So I guess you know what the beginning of what that happens.
Well, we've said that, you know, Quintus and Lucretia are killed before. Yeah. So,
and I was even talking to you about, like, we need another series, but it's like, what if Quintus had survived? They sewed his throat up and he was okay. That way we could have more great scenes.
Like Weekend at Bernie Quintus.
Yeah. He's been reanimated.
As they play the
he only moves if he, plays if he hears plays island drums. Music.
So what do you think about
steel
that?
Drums?
You offer us piss and claim it wine.
Hey, I had a great idea. And we could even cast Andrew McCarthy and Jonathan Silverman.
Now, at Lucretia and Gaia, they're in the marketplace, and they run into another sleazy Roman guy. He's like, hey, I've heard about the House of Bodiatus. Oh, you have? About our gladiators? No, about the crazy sleazy shit that goes on there, and I want to partake in some of that. So it's just like, oh, more of this.
I want to bang your wife, dude.
So basically, you know, they talk to Quintus and he's like, okay, do it. I'll get my dad out of here and we'll become whores or whatever. Then that guy Tellius shows up. Is it just me or do you guys hate this guy as much as I do? His sleazy hair.
I despise him.
The way he smiles and everything. He's like, and then he's like, I wish to fight Gannicus. If I am a god, let me prove it. And then Animaeus is like, don't do anything to wound him. That'd be bad. Just let him beat you. So then you have to watch Gannicus get his ass kicked by this guy when we know he could kill him immediately. And he cuts them all up. And he's even about to kill Gannicus until, you know, he does the missio. And Lucretia has, you know, say, you know, Telly, stop. You know, he did the missio. We're here in front of all these people. Shouldn't you be cool about this? He's like, yeah, okay, whatever. You know, I proved what I did is that you guys suck, basically. He's just trying to embarrass the shit out of them, isn't he?
Yeah.
To show he's the one in charge. And then Gaia, who is Lucretia's dearest friend, and I was telling you, Bill, I wondered if it was going to be something kind of like the blonde chick from Blood and Sand. I can't remember her name right now.
Yes. damn it.
Where she would end up betraying Lucretia or doing some sleazy stuff behind her back. But it didn't turn out to be that at all. Gaia really was her friend, and, you know, they really liked each other, right? I assume from the scenes I've seen.
They were very close.
I will gain Tellius' favor by laying with him or whatever. And she's like, are you sure you want to do that? He's really gross. You know, I'm paraphrasing here. So she goes in there. She goes in there, and they start a beginning of a scene where he's, like, having his way with her. And I was like, oh, just grossed out by it. And I don't know about you guys, but when Titus, Quintus's dad, he's like, I want to go home. And he's like, are you sure? You know, I was like, I thought they were going to walk in during all the orgy stuff. I'm going, what the hell is going like some teenager getting busted. But you know what? I had a flash in my head. This is kind of funny. Okay. Bodyotis and his dad are in Neapolis, right? And then they're at their party having their orgy. And then Tellius shows up, the guy they can't stand. He shows up. And I pictured her hopping on her cell phone and calling Bodyotis like, oh, hold on, Dad. You'll never guess who showed up at a party. He's like, holy shit, I got to get home real right away. But still, it would take them forever, even if they had phones, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So
wow, maybe they could have sent carrier pigeons.
Yeah, I was just thinking, like,
my carrier pigeon's coming.
Roman days with cell phones, you know. Send him a I'm sending Bodyotis a text. You'll never
sounds like 90210.
Yeah. So basically, that son of a bitch kills Gaia, smashes her head in, and he leaves basically laughing and smiling, like, hey, I can do anything I want. So then Dad shows up with his son, Quintus, and pretty much yells at them and doesn't take their side at all, and it was just annoying, wasn't it? All right, let's check this out.
Have you lost mind? Again, attempting to maneuver around Tullius.
I only sought to elevate our position.
Plunging the good name of this house into muck and shit.
What would you have me do? Bow and scrape to the fucking lunatic?
He is above our station. I gave warning not to provoke the man.
You ignore it, and here are the results.
A Roman citizen, dead in my house.
By the hands of the very man you defend.
You helped set this in motion, and now claim innocence in the outcome.
I claim vengeance. His life for hers. Blood and brains on the fucking floor.
Reward well deserved.
No, there will be no retribution.
I will see you dead.
You will do as fucking commanded.
And what of Gaia?
She partook of too much wine, as she was often known to do. In the night, she lost footing and fell to her death at the bottom of the cliff.
Good thing they don't have Roman CSI, huh?
Do not look at me. I am the dominus of this king house. See it done. Quintus.
I can see it.
So this is why you spirited me to Neapolis. Not to find common ground, but to bury your father.
That was not my intent.
Oh, you knew nothing of this. It was all that woman's doing. The two of you feed off each other, fattening yourselves with lies. Well, I would see the feast at an end.
This guy's voice
is
awesome.
Your meaning? You know my king meaning. That ill-bred woman has brought this family nothing but shame.
She is my wife.
Because I foolishly allowed it. I wanted you to have something of your own. Something that held meaning to you, even if no one else saw it. Yet what has she given you? No dowry to speak of, no name to elevate status, and no heir to carry the name Batiatus. Every choice you make shapes your fate, Quintus. I cannot change missteps of the past, but I will see you on proper path, and Lucretia must be swept from it.
You would dissolve my marriage?
No. You will make that choice for yourself, or be gone from this house with her.
I somehow get the feeling Bodyotis isn't going to go along with his dad's plans.
But what's great is the father has them pegged.
Yeah, he does.
And they really are their own worst enemies. They're all about ambition, and he's so politically minded. You know, they automatically knee-jerk reaction, well, let's kill the son of a bitch. And he's, right. No, it's not how it works.
Like, he's like, you shouldn't even mess with that guy in the first place.
Exactly.
But also,
I mean, I have I really can't have any guilt or compassion for Batiatus and what's her name? Shit.
Lucretia.
Lucretia and Quintus.
Right. But at the same time, I love their characters so much.
Oh, absolutely. And but they're just so impulsive, and they're digging their own graves.
And they want what they want and screw everybody else. And they have – they'll do anything for these Roman guys, and they just make themselves look like total asses that can be walked all over. That's the thing that drives me nuts. That they're
well,
like,
after the first one, they should have, you know, they should have said, no, that's not how our house works.
Yeah, but they just keep doing it. And then the fact that Dentellius shows up and totally manipulated the evening, you know.
And the moment he showed up, they should have had guards escort him out.
Yeah, like later on in the next season, they have guards everywhere. Maybe they learned their lesson. Yeah. Maybe they have guards all the time.
I'm going to get his name wrong. The one that starts with an S. Their creepy friend with the hair.
Solonius.
Is he the one that told Tellius what was going down?
I think so.
Yeah, because remember, he's trying to increase his favor within the politically.
Yeah, because he says something like, what are you doing here? And he says something like, don't ask me questions if you want to stay in my favor. Isn't that why you told me in the first place? And it's like, oh, okay, you know. So we know he's a sleaze bag, you know. Yeah. He's just doing whatever he wants to get what he needs. And also, I thought it was funny how they showed a little bit of Asher, like their first gladiatorial match, and that guy totally saves his ass. The guy who he translates for him all the time. And then when the guy's dead, he's like, "Yes, hail Asher!" He's like really pumping himself up.
Yeah, and, well, that's so great because it totally relates back to the first series in how he's just a rat, how he'll take every scrap he can get and then turn it into glory.
And then, you know, when they get their special bonus coins or whatever, he's like, wait, why does he have more than me? And he's like, you know why, because you asked me dead right now. All you did was lay there and about to be killed.
I'm just waiting for him to kill his friend.
And this prequel has made me love Crixus more. I just love his character, you know?
Well, we get to see Crixus as Spartacus.
Yeah, and when he's talking about, when he tells the Barca, you know, he's like, I saw my father and brother killed in battle, and I was too young to take up spear, and my whole driving force in my life is to be able to avenge them and, you know, kill as many Romans as possible, right? Or kill as many somethings as possible, or just live life gloriously or something. And the, you know, Barca's like, yeah, but, you know, I don't have a gay friend right now, so I'm sad.
Barca may be an incredibly sad gay man, but he's had some really, I mean, he's got shit. He's, you know, in this series, he loses his other guy, and then in the other series, he loses his other guy. It's like he's just has really horrible luck with men.
Then let's not forget how Asher screws him over, too, and I don't mean that way. And no, horrible.
No.
Let us seek libation to wash taste of shit from mouth.
But, you know, a scene like the scene with Crixus and Barca could ring, you know, false, but it just works so well with Barca in there with the birds. And he's like, I don't even like these damn birds.
Yeah. And just Crixus wants to talk to him warrior to warrior, you know.
Yeah.
You know, you may be down everything, but we've got to, you know, we're gods in the arena or whatever.
Hope Barca gets his problems with pissing and food out of the way.
Yeah, it's like, really? Can't you?
But if he can, it's fine if he continues
he
to do it to Asher.
He shit from his mouth.
Yeah, if he does it to Asher. I love Asher every year. How many times he's like, it's like, damn, I fell for it again. The piss and the mush that we eat. And that's another thing. These guys are gladiators and they're all muscular. Don't they need some kind of protein or something?
Maybe that's what, you know what, I was just out of pure curiosity, I was speculating what that could be, like all the different sort of things, like maybe flax and chia and like all the different kinds of seeds that are high in protein. And
yeah, it's like mashed up fish or something, or are they too
hard? I don't know, maybe, I was thinking like it was like a high protein porridge. I know. I don't even know why I was.
But that's, you know,
it's
this
where
show,
my mind goes sometimes.
I love this
I can't
show so
it.
Much, Bill. I wanted to know stuff like that, you know?
I guess.
Yeah,
I'm an idiot. I know.
Want to make a cake in the shape of a toilet bowl?
No. If you had Googled Roman food from the Spartacus time to figure it out.
Okay, well, I'm going to Google it right now. Roman mush.
Horus piss and claim it wine.
Hey.
Or you know what? I am going to Twitter Stephen DeKnight. I'm going to ask him what they're eating.
Okay, cool. Well, Bill, let's go ahead and do the news. What do you say? And we'll talk about Spartacus next week.
Blood and brains on the fucking floor.
Okay. All right, let's do the news.
Do
the news. But of course. All right, Bill, what do we have in the news this week?
All right, Somerset, Pennsylvania, two West Virginia cousins have been jailed after Pennsylvania State Police say they were stopped with a carload of stolen beef jerky. and apparently they were selling it for gas money. Huh? I'll just eat it.
Who would you sell it to? Like, all right, I'll take it.
Well, you know, it's like you have the white van.
Slim Jims for sale.
And go, hey, we have some extra jerky from a job.
We just deliver the last load.
Do you want some of our extra jerky?
Sure, why not?
Hot jerky.
Hot jerky.
Michael Graham, 37, and John Barry. John Barry stealing jerky in the afterlife?
In the afterlife, yeah.
Both of Milton, West Virginia. Oh, well, John Barry wasn't from Milton, West Virginia.
Creepy Earl.
were pulled over in Somerset, Pennsylvania Wednesday evening because their license plate was dangling from the car. You would think you'd get that fixed if you have a carload of stolen goods.
Yeah, put a coat hanger on that. Right.
Police say in an affidavit they saw a large amount of boxed and packaged beef jerky. Police say the cousins acknowledged stealing the items from an auto parts store gas station, and they were trying to sell the items for gas money to get to Westmoreland County, which is in Pennsylvania.
That was bullshit. Let me tell you why.
Why not, if they stole it from a gas station, why didn't they just steal gas?
Or money.
Yeah, I don't... Oh, okay.
Come on.
I'm not even going to try to remember like that. Here's a fancy group. Police in Troy, Michigan are searching for a group who dined and dashed at a birthday party for a one-year-old at Chuck E. Cheese's.
Nice.
What?!
Yeah, a man called and made a reservation for Wednesday's party for 15 guests at the restaurant. The hostess gave a bill to the group, but was told the person who is paying has not arrived yet. While the hostess went into the back room for a few minutes, the party left without paying the bill, taking the birthday cake with them.
Wow.
All the party guests were last seen running towards a maroon Ford van leaving the parking lot. The restaurant provided video of the suspect to investigators. Here's the genius part. To make these reservations, you have to leave a phone number and a copy of your driver's license. So it's not going to be long until this guy's hauled in.
Oh, my God.
I guess they didn't think about that whenever they dashed.
I thought you were going to say they used a fake number and a fake license, but they probably didn't, did they?
Yeah, it said McLovin, and he was from Hawaii. Wow. All right, Cleveland, Ohio, the mistake on the lake. Cleveland police say a man picking up his 3-year-old grandson from daycare was given the wrong child and didn't realize the mistake until he got the boy home.
What? How is that possible?
It happens.
Come here, Timmy.
Was he drunk?
Hey, it happens. Don't judge. Don't judge Grandpa. Maybe he's got bad hearing, bad sight. Who knows?
This is the wrong kid.
Come here, voodoo.
Person, you know what they were doing? They were like texting on their phone the entire time. All right, come on, let's go.
Let's go. Yeah. The WEWS TV reports that the child's mother came to pick up her son. Staffers at the Fatima Family Center knew something was wrong. Fatima, isn't that some sort of crazy Catholic thing?
Yeah.
They knew something was wrong by that time. The grandfather was on his way back with the boy. He got home and went, "Who the hell are you?"
Interesting.
Get your ass in the car. Yep, the daycare is operated by the Catholic Charities Community Services. All right. There you go, crazy Catholics. Executive Director Bernadette Washington released a statement saying her organization would review its procedures and make sure the staff understands how to release a child to the proper person.
Yeah.
Washington also told the station that two children on Thursday were safe with their right relatives within a half hour of the mix-up.
Get out of here!
We fixed it quick, we swear. No child was where it didn't need to be for too long.
Technically, no child was left behind.
No child was left behind. They were just taken to the wrong spot.
Laura, that sounded like a sarcastic laugh. I don't know, it sounded a little strange. Oh, wait, no, it wasn't. It was just Muttley-ish. Oh,
that, you know what? I think I just heard my dog bark.
Your dog's ears just perked up.
It's like a dog whistle. God. All right, Wellington, New Zealand, long renowned for pioneering extreme sports such as bungee jumping and heliskiing. Heliskiing's hella cool.
Is it like a helicopter above your head?
Yeah, heli, H-E-L-I, heliskiing. Nice. We're actually skiing in hell.
Holy shit.
Yeah, well, when it freezes over, it's prime real estate.
They're lava-proof skis.
Yeah. New Zealanders are now pushing culinary boundaries by serving up shots of horse semen.
Oh,
hey,
gross.
How you doing?
Hey, don't knock it till you try it.
Yeah, why? Why would I want that?
Is that something you do on a dare or what?
The equine delicacy will be on the menu at the annual Wild Foods Festival in South Island town of Makaka next month. Like, how do they advertise that? Like, freshly pulled horse semen?
Fresh jerk.
Pull it yourself.
Awesome lactate and sliced banana.
Heard of jerked chicken, but
I'll take a light beer.
Hard to
yuck.
Yeah,
I'll have some jerked horse.
Along with other gastronomic delights such as raw scorpions and chocolate covered beetles and deep fried grubs.
It's like, I just want a regular sandwich. Can I get that over here, please?
Oh, here comes the bullshit line. The idea is you'll have as much zizz as a stallion for a week afterwards.
Right. Finish your ginger ale and get out.
I'm glad that has a Z and not a J in front of it.
It sounds like, let me guess, is this really high priced too?
I would have to assume
so. Is it like shark fin soup where it's like
a... Oh. I can't even think about it without, like, wanting to puke.
They serve it on your hamburger, but you don't get mayonnaise.
Nasty.
Oh, this is... I'm going to continue reading, but
yes.
I'm having a really hard time here. Christchurch racehorse breeder Lindsay Kerslake, who came up with the semen
Damn
surprise...
Damn your lake!
You know, this woman's done this more than once.
Yours just keep getting dirtier.
He said, oh, it's not a woman, it's a guy. Sorry, Lindsay. He said the shots, that's just even wrong. That's more wrong now. That's horrible. He said shots being sold at this year's festival on March 12th would taste like a milkshake. Oh, no, I'm done. I'm out. I am out.
I was about to say, no. I'm starting to get nauseous.
No.
We get the idea.
What the hell is wrong with people?
Well, he got caught, so he had to make up something. And I'm not sexually assaulting the horse. It's a shot, yeah.
Oh, I'm going to vomit in my mouth. Okay. Wow, I never thought... Never okay.
Yeah, just go.
Next story.
Jehovah's Witnesses and Seventh-day Adventists are outpacing the Latter-day Saints' growth.
Oh, I thought you were going to say they're in some kind of battle or something. That
yes,
been-
sir. To the death in the arena.
Some of my best thinking on the toilet bowl, so let me take a seat.
Sand. Churches with firm theologies, door-to-door evangelizing, and high expectations for member involvement continue to grow in the United States, even as mainstream Protestant faith keeps losing members.
Can I just tell people, don't answer your door? Please.
I don't.
Don't answer your door.
Jehovah's Witnesses remain the fastest-growing denomination, followed by the Seventh-day Adventist, and quite frankly, they're not much different. I think they both don't believe in blood transfusions. I don't know.
Voodoo Dawn?
Yes. Or Voodoo
They don't
Dawn.
Believe in Voodoo Dawn either.
And
Voodoo
Dusk. I mean, Seventh-day Adventists are basically like health nuts.
Seventh-day Advent hoppists.
Hoppists. They make great beer.
And the muck and
Seventh-day, they hop.
Yeah.
The Utah-based LDS Church was the fastest growing of the 10 largest faiths. Okay, can I just say right now, if you can abbreviate your church's name like LDS, it's not a good thing. LDS, no.
Get on your knees.
Automatically, like an alert should go up. Like, this might be a cult. The Jehovah's Witnesses, the 20th largest denomination, swelled by 4.37% from 2008 to 2009 for a total of 1,162,686 members. Now, most of those are actually three-quarters of those are like out of luck, right?
Yes. Yeah, pretty much.
300,000. Okay.
What? And here are the results.
144,000.
Yeah, 144,000.
Oh, oh, shit. Oh, yeah. A million of them are out of luck.
Yeah.
Let us seek libation.
I wonder if they actually
shit
do
from mouth.
Have battles. Like, I wonder if it, near the end, if they know it's going to happen, there's going to be like massive...
like the Highlander.
You just have to be better than the last one to die.
Except it's not real battles. It's LARPing battles.
It's a lightning bolt.
That would be... bitchin.
Except it's like religious battles. Like, I cast you out.
This is
like
garbage.
That.
I don't want to put my name in the
I entomb you in the belly of a whale. Just something like that. But for some reason, I picture the guy with a wand when he did it.
I cast you into a pig.
See, now you're turning him into witchcraft, which would be evil.
Yeah, that's wrong.
Oh, damn.
Oh, shit.
Well, that's just not any fun then.
We got a turlet bowl.
You are a turlet bowl. Huzzah!
I'm turning you into a turlet bowl.
Shazam! Huzzah! Or whatever! Kazam!
Black Adam!
That was bullshit. Let me tell you why.
Whoa, Gordon. Sorry.
People, just... do you really need to believe... if you need to believe in something, just, you know, make something up. I don't care.
They did. You gotta look at his penis.
Yeah, and... instead of this, watch Fringe, okay?
Yes, believe in that.
Believe in the alternate
universe. We need those numbers that you just mentioned, Bill. We need those watching Fringe.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe that. Well, that's it.
Aha!
That would double the viewership.
What?
It would.
Many people are looking for meaning and stability in a world of turmoil. Yes, that's why... we want to go to the Jehovah's Witnesses. We hear the Jacksons and Chris love this, so let's join it.
They've got nothing to say.
No. A man stealing copper wire from the roof of a north side building in Indianapolis was electrocuted this morning near a 24,000-volt transformer. Oh, I love that transformer. Sorry, that was really awful. Paramedics and firefighters found the body of Jeff Reynolds, 31, on the roof of the Circle City Industrial Complex in the 1300 block of Massachusetts Avenue, Indianapolis. A man who police said was waiting in a getaway car saw a blue flash on the roof. Reynolds had been attempting to take copper wire from a transformer bank on the roof. The theft of the copper wire and other metal has become widespread due to high prices for the commodities. Well, that's just one more way to weed out the dumbasses. Hey, man, I got a great idea. You see all that copper wire up there? Let's steal it. What about the electricity? Aw, man, don't worry about that.
Man, if you wear these rubber gloves, you'll be fine.
I got it covered. I got my sneakers on.
You'll be fine. No, I don't.
All right, last story. Summit County, Ohio, a drunken man pretending to be an attorney was arrested after trying to speak with an inmate at a Summit County, Ohio jail.
I'll be your representation.
Come here. Get you out of here.
I object, Your Honor. I picture the guy in Campbell Randall.
I am more guilty than this man.
According to Summit County Sheriff, 30-year-old Troy Greer of Medina went to the Funky Cold Medina, went to the Summit County Jail on Tuesday and told deputies he needed to speak with an inmate. Police asked Greer for identification. He allegedly produced the business card of an attorney with a different name. Sheriff Alexander says it was clear Greer was intoxicated, and deputies say he quickly became uncooperative. He was arrested and charged with disorderly conduct by intoxication and obstructing official business. So he didn't really lie at all. He just gave a business card that didn't have his name on it.
Hmm.
They did the assuming.
Yes, and you know what happens when you assume.
You get arrested.
Yep, exactly. That's why you should never assume. All right, and that's news for this week.
All right, Bill, thanks for doing the news. What do you say we do some DVDs?
Absolutely.
Let's do it. Ow!
Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs.
DVDs, DVDs! DVDs, HD, Blu-ray, standard definition.
DVD!
I need a female backup singer during that.
Huh? Yeah, Laura, when are you going to chime in?
I don't think I can even get in there.
There's too much awesomeness.
There is too much awesomeness. I don't think you can handle anymore.
You
got to
go, DVDs.
No.
All right, Bill, what do we have in the DVDs this week?
All right, DVDs for Tuesday, February 22nd, 2011. Starting off with... excuse me. That was excellent.
Starting off with
a burp. I could taste my dinner in that one.
Yum.
What do you mean, no?
48 Hours on Blu-ray.
TMI.
48 Hours with Eddie Murphy?
Yes, and Nick Nolte.
Yes.
The boxing.
I was going to sing, sorry. The boys are back in. But you're right.
I always like that song.
Roxanne works too, huh?
And this is a good movie. I like this movie. Walter Hill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you know from funny, you bastard?
Screw you, old Jewish Eddie Murphy.
You know, that's got an evil Dexter's dad in it. So
it does.
For that.
Yep, James Remar. And a young Superman's mom.
You're right.
Yep, and Ed O'Toole's in there. All right, next Blu-ray and DVD is a Warner Brothers animation All-Star Superman.
Aha!
Aha!
Man, they're really cranking these things out, aren't they? And the animation's really good on them.
Yeah, I mean, they must have like a sweatshop in Korea. They pump these things out. And the voice acting is always good.
Yeah, it is. They always get like known people, and now I'm blanking on who does it. But yeah, it's really good. I was trying to think of who, Nathan Fillion did a voice on the one I watched. It's just pretty cool. Cool stuff.
Yeah, I like the Green Lantern one, First Flight, is really good, too.
Yeah, that is on Netflix, and I'm going to watch that.
Yeah, I really like that one. I'd rather watch that than the upcoming movie, so... it is what it is. It's Superman All-Stars.
Superman!
Fueled by hatred and jealousy, Lex Luthor masterminds an elaborate plot to kill the Man of Steel. And it works!
Yay!
Wait,
what?
Finally, they kill that guy.
Hey, wait a second. That's like Who Wants to Be a Superhero music.
There you go.
That's much better. That doesn't make me want to say Excelsior.
Take the cane and do a jig.
Where's Tiveculus when you need him?
Oh, man, Tiveculus. Do you know what he said, Steven? What's the tagline? Oh, boo! I have major boobage.
Oh, jeez.
Right, just put him on the spot.
All right, Bill, you do it. Tiveculus.
Shit. Give me.
Do you guys want me to do it?
Yes, please.
By the source of light!
Yes, by the source of light. That's
yes.
It.
And I guess he was talking to the lamp in the room.
By the complex fluorescent light bulb!
Gastrointestinal distress.
The only one I really remember is Fat Mama. Fat Mama.
Oh, I love Fat
Mama.
Come
to save the day.
Fat Mama always had those donuts.
Oh, yeah.
On her belt.
Good old
donuts.
Donuts.
Major Victory, I remember him.
Fat Mama. Fat Mama. I'm here to save the day.
Yes, you are.
And I liked Monkey Woman because she was hot.
Oh, yeah. That was the second season. No, wait, was that the first season?
I think it was the first season.
Yeah, right.
All right. Then next Blu-ray and DVD is a film that people don't know if it's trying to be serious or if it's just trying to be really, really awful on purpose. And that's Birdemic, Shock and Terror.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, this is like the new midnight movie after The Room. It's really awful. The effects are like right out of like an Apple IIc computer. It's really, really, really awful.
So it's like birds attacking?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they're like digital vultures. They just kind of stay in the air and they're all pixelated. It's embarrassing how awful it is, but I still don't know if it's supposed to be awful or if somebody's just really this bad at filmmaking.
Probably really bad at filmmaking.
I think that's the better of the two, because then you can laugh at it more. Holy shit, that's an angry chimp
right up there with the coven.
That's not a bird. Okay.
It's a bonobo.
Who cares?
Hey.
Next Blu-ray and DVD is Due Date with Robert Downey Jr. and Zach Galifianakis.
Bad banana jokes aside.
Huh?
I have no idea what that means, but...
Galifianakis is a monkey.
Oh, I wanted to see this. It's by that Todd guy? Todd.
Yeah, Todd Phillips.
That was
I'll
Todd guy.
Probably rent it or maybe watch it on Amazon
no,
Video
Bill,
on
it's
Demand.
By, it's by Todd who sends us voicemails.
No, that would be awesome. Let's just pretend that's what it is.
Yeah.
I'm kind of tiring of Galifianakis quickly.
I don't see his stand-up funny. I see that he puts movies out and I haven't seen them, so I'm not tired of them.
Yeah. Yeah, I like his stand-up and his entire vibe on his stand-up, but the movie thing is just it's getting really because he's the same character in almost everything. He's dim and just stupid, dim, stupid, same thing. But it's just irritating.
I like him.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. I watch it, but I'm getting tired of it. Too much oversaturation.
Spontaneous bug eruption.
You know what? He's quickly approaching Jonah Hill levels of irritation.
He can't be that bad.
No, he's doing the same schlock over and over. You know?
Yeah, exactly. You could easily switch Galifianakis and Jonah Hill out.
Oh, I know.
Like, put Jonah Hill in The Hangover.
No, I don't see
it. Really?
No.
Okay.
Because Galifianakis doesn't get on my nerves at all. He can do anything. Jonah Hill immediately gets on my nerves.
It's instant.
Yeah.
All right. Next DVD and Blu-ray is a Criterion Collection edition of Fish Tank, a film by Andrea Arnold. And it's a British film, and it's an interesting film. It's about a girl who lives with her mom and sister in this really shitty housing project, and it's basically her story of growing up, but all this craziness going on around her. It's a really good film. I mean, it wouldn't be on Criterion if it wasn't, but it's a recent film, which is kind of strange because Criterion doesn't really do recent films other than like they did the two Fincher films, right? Benjamin Button and they didn't do Social Network. But they did do Benjamin Button.
Really? That's weird. Who decides, like, hey, we're going to do this newer movie?
Yeah, I have no idea how that works. I know whenever...
Criterion.
Yeah, Stan Criterion really liked it.
Yeah, I know somebody at Criterion liked Armageddon. Because I have that edition. And I'm still kind of angry that it wasn't Metamorphosis. I do like Armageddon. It's stupid, but it's fun. It's stupid and fun.
Quick, Foggy, play a fish drop. Oh, we don't have one.
Like the band?
No, you said in the movie called Fish Tank?
Oh, yeah. I just thought maybe I could do some annoying jam sound, and it would be Fish, the band. Like that. I mean, that's Fish. That's
I don't know
much
of any fish.
Oh, God.
But I do know what patchouli smells like.
If you know what it smells like, you may have been to a fish concert. All right, next DVD and Blu-ray is what I'm really looking forward to. Get Low with Robert Duvall and Bill Murray.
Hey, man, that's pee!
And Robert Duvall is the guy that feels he's outlived his usefulness, so he wants to have a funeral while he's still alive.
I know what this movie is.
Yeah, and Bill Murray helps him promote it.
It looks interesting.
Yeah, anything with Robert Duvall and Bill Murray that is kind of a drama comedy, I'll check out.
I call him Bobby Duvall.
Bobby. Yeah, Bobby. That always annoys me when Howard Dwelling Stern says that. He calls him Bobby D. And I'm just like, no, it's Mr. Robert Duvall to me. I've... A great respect for.
I'm not Helen Keller, bro. I'm not deaf and blind.
Yeah, there's Robert Duvall right there, bro.
All right, next Blu-ray is Kill Shot with Mickey Rourke and Diane Lane and Thomas Jane. I wish there were more rhyming names.
Bad ass, yo.
What's strange is that it,
whoa. That was definitely
a
kill shot.
Rosario Dolphin?
Rosario Dolphin? Oh, that's a kill shot, too.
Got the dolphin.
Rosario Dawson. And it's got the J or the JGL, the Joseph Gordon-Levitt. So,
oh, you mean Jogo?
Jogo.
Jogo Levitt.
Jogo Lee.
Oh, that's a whole bunch of kill shots.
I have no idea what this movie is, but it's based on an Elmore Leonard novel.
That's a kill shot. I want to check this out.
Directed by John Madden.
It sounds like it's got a great cast, and plus that guy knows his football. You should be able to direct a movie.
Yeah, he's got great football games.
Yeah.
And he only rides in a bus. Even he won't fly.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. I think it was just gut shot.
Oh, wait, one more, Bill. Okay, there we go.
What, you had to reload? Put one more in the chamber just in case.
Get ready for the next movie.
All right, next Blu-ray is The Last Unicorn.
Shoot it! Shoot the last one!
No, it's the last one, Steven.
Shoot
you gotta
it!
Preserve it.
No! Harvest its poker.
It's poker.
What the hell is it called?
It's horn?
Okay, I guess it's a...
I like poker better.
It's a unihorn.
Oh. Hey, Foggy, do we have a unicorn drop? Oh, there we go.
All I remember about this film is that it has that really kind of creepy animation that the Lord of the Rings animation.
Oh, that damn! I can't remember the name of the company. Just edit that.
Is it Carlton or no?
The Rankin Bass? Is that it?
No, it's not Rankin Bass. I don't think. Is it? Yes, you're right. It is.
Oh,
I am a moron, and you are king, smart man.
Thank you, sir.
I'm a peasant in your presence.
Hey, Boba Fett.
Yes, that too.
What? Just a man but making his way.
I just remember seeing this as a kid a handful of times and being like, "Eh,
probably a chupacabra bite."
But I know there's plenty of people that love it. Moving on, Blu-ray, Megamind.
Megamind! I liked it. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I just watched it. I won't say how.
I love the animation in the world, and I love, like, you know, like how they had the badass flying effects and fights in the air? Could you imagine that with, like, more realistic human figures, you know, if they did it like a Superman in an animated world
cool.
like that, it'd be badass. And like the animation, it's so like, what is the term I'm looking for, Bill? It's
fluid.
No, that's not it. It's a very uncanny
valley.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, I didn't know that's what you were going
my
for.
God. Oh,
sorry about that. Sorry. It's very Uncanny Valley, by the way.
Yes.
Spontaneous bug eruption.
No, it was not.
Exactly.
I loved the music in it.
I don't know. It doesn't mean anything, I don't think.
No, Uncanny Valley is an area where the mind perceives fakeness.
Right. No, I thought Laura was asking me what spontaneous bug eruption.
Oh, I thought she said what's Uncanny Valley.
You're asking what Uncanny Valley.
What does it mean?
Uncanny Valley is when you watch like Mars Needs Moms trailer and it's this cool animation or whatever. Basically, anything Robert Zemeckis does, like where your brain tells you something's wrong. Am I right, Bill? Is that what it is?
Yeah, it doesn't look real. Like they're striving for realness, but in your mind, you just know it's not.
Your brain knows, look away.
Something that championed and made Uncanny Valley its bitch is Avatar. You know, once you settle into it, you completely believe everything that's going on.
I don't care what anyone says about Avatar. I believe that shit.
Yeah.
I believe that those blue cat people were real.
Yep.
What about you, Steven?
Yes. They were there. I saw them.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
I pissed her off again.
Sorry, you gotta stop going in the litter box, Steven.
I keep rocking on her tail.
Well, stop.
Avatar was so stupid.
It was just dances with wolves in space.
Dances with Delgo Smurfs.
Dances with cat people.
Dances with Fern Gully.
Fern Delgo.
Fern Delgo.
Yeah, I'm not.
That's awesome.
Not even making sense anymore.
Love that show.
Okay.
All right, moving on. Memento, 10th anniversary special edition.
Hey, I was just talking about that earlier in the show. Holy shit.
What a coincidence.
Because no one taught him to hate.
That's right. No one taught me to hate, so I brought up Memento. I don't know what that means, but.
Because you love the movie. You didn't hate it.
Memento's good.
It's really good.
It's really good. I've seen it twice, and it's really good, but I don't know if I can watch it again. You know what
it's,
I want?
It's not the sort of movie you like. Go, hey, let's watch Memento.
I want to watch it forward.
I think I've
Bill.
Seen it once. Yeah.
Watch it forward.
I've seen it once.
I know when I saw it the first time, I was like, "Hey, Trinity's in this."
Excuse me.
Okay. That's all I knew that that woman as was
and then
Trinity.
I guess she didn't want to act anymore. I guess. No, wait. She was in Disturbia as the mom. I remember that.
Oh yes, Trinity. And she was in a couple other shitty films too.
Yeah.
But.
Hey, what are you going to do? Every movie can't be The Matrix, you know?
Yeah, that's right. And not,
finish your
and
ginger ale.
Apparently, the sequels couldn't be either. Next Blu-ray is an excellent film. It's the first film in a, I guess, two film.
Quintology?
What do you call that? Duology.
Yeah, sure.
But it's Mezreen Killer Instinct with
Mezzanine.
No, it's with Vincent Cassel, excellent French actor, one of my favorites. But it's about this basically France's most notorious criminal. And it's if you like gangster movies, you'll like this series of films. Mezreen Killer Instinct's the first, and Mezreen Public Enemy Number One is the second one.
What?
Cool.
Yep. And he plays Jacques Mezreen.
Jacques.
And I'm sure I'm pronouncing that wrong, but really fantastic films.
Jacques.
Jacques Mezri,
Sacre Bleu.
Excuse me?
Oh, sorry.
But really, really, I can't recommend these movies enough. In fact, the trailers are really good, too, because they use that black strobe version of I'm a Man. And it's one of my favorite songs to get myself all pumped up with. It's just, it's really good. It's good! Moving on, Nurse Jackie Season 2 on Blu-ray. I haven't watched Season 1,
gasoline,
but I hear it's enjoyable.
I guess he's...
Thank you, Chocolate Mousse.
Chocolate Mousse. I love
Chocolate Mousse.
I've watched the first two seasons of Nurse Jackie. It's a really good show.
Okay,
it's
I'll
also
check
very
it out.
Tragic. It's
tragic?
You know what's so funny? It's my first reaction, like... did she win the Emmy for Best Comedy Series? And I was like, comedy? And really, it is very funny, but it's very dark, serious shit, but you laugh at it. They do it in a way where it's you laugh, but it's also serious and sad shit. So it's weird to think of it as a comedy. I think they're cheating there. I don't
is
know.
That, is that in, was that Emmy or Golden Globe?
Something. Yeah, Golden Globe, I think.
Well, Golden Globe always... you know, lump stuff into ridiculous categories.
She might have been nominated for Emmy, too. I can't remember. But I was just like, I was like, wow, I guess you could call this a comedy, but it just doesn't seem like it, you know?
I guess it's all in how you see it.
Yeah, it's, I guess I'm not the one voting, so I don't get any say in it. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying, Steven?
Mm-hmm. I know what you're saying.
Medic.
And lastly, on DVD, we get the Adrien Grenier film, Teenage Paparazzo.
I've seen it. Teenage
Paparazzi.
It's a 95-minute
feature documentary about an exploration of a tenuous relationship between celebrities and the people who make a living selling their image.
It's about, you know, it's all about paparazzi, but it's also about following this kid around who's a teenage paparazzi, hence the title. But it's also shows...
It's genius!
It goes into the fact that people, you know, people talk about paparazzi's horrible, but there's a market for it because people buy the garbage, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And also, you know, there's some Paris Hilton in there where she's like... they made me what I am. You know, she like stages shit where she shows up. She makes sure they know where she's going to be and they'll take pictures. She doesn't mind it because, you know, she's a whore and she needs to get out there. But also all of that. It just feeds on itself, you know, so.
That's
whatever.
Really tragic that someone's – that's their claim to fame.
Yeah, if you know
I'm
to-
a whore.
I'm a whore.
Like, not, and not just like a teen. I could go along with it if she actually sold herself for sex. But she just has people take pictures of her, and that's how she became famous.
That's hot, right, Steven?
It is.
That's hot.
Dummy.
Stop.
What is your meaning?
All right, and that's DVDs for this week.
All right, Bill. Thanks for doing the DVDs this week. Good times.
You're welcome.
What do you say we go hang around the ladies' changing rooms at TJ Maxx for a while?
Thank you. Good night.
Sounds
for
good.
Meal.
Got no plans.
TJ Maxx.
Big epic story of none of your business.
All right, everyone, that was
that
episode
is a great story.
228. That's a big epic story.
One of the best.
Episode 228 of Nowhere in Mulberry. Thank you for listening and for supporting the show, sending in voicemails, guys. Todd, Adam, Chris in Buffalo, and Mike and Derek. And go to nowhereinmulberry.com. You can find a link to our forum where you can comment on the shows. Also, send us an email at nimpodcast@gmail.com and stuff like that. Good times, guys. You know, you can also find us on Twitter and the Facebook. You know, the contest is over, Laura. You know, you had a good run, I think. I mean, fourth place, it's nothing to... There's some people who had, like, no votes. Like,
yeah,
did they forget
literally
they
no votes.
Well, I figured fourth place out of 36 contestants isn't too bad.
But that's also pretty damn good.
Well, and if you had your original 2,000 votes, it probably bumped you up a little
probably been
higher.
Third or second.
Can't wait to see this video of the girl who just runs in a circle, I guess.
That's all she does, literally.
Here's how you create a tornado.
We got a turlet bowl.
Turlet bowls.
Yeah, we do have a turlet bowl, don't we? Steven, would you like something to drink?
I'll have some lactate and sliced banana.
I love that. He's like, I'll have a lactate and slice. All I have is ginger ale.
I'll take a light beer, domestic, frosted mug.
It's like so specific. Love it. Great show.
Frosted mug.
I'm going to have to check that show out.
Eagle Heart. You guys got to do
it. Is the lactate guy, is it the guy with the beard?
Yeah, he's the goofy guy with the beard. And then, you know, when they show up to his mom's house, he's like, hey, you guys are just in time. My mom and I are trying on old Halloween costumes. It's like, yeah.
I just think it's hilarious that somebody asked for lactate. Like, it's so random.
Lactate.
Like, I've never known anyone who's ever drank lactose-free milk.
A toilet bowl cake?
No one brought that up, buddy.
Yeah,
sorry.
What's that guy's name? I'm throwing a blank on it.
It's like a comedian?
Yeah.
Terrorist zombies?
Tall,
now that's a bad combination.
Bald and has the beard.
Mm-hmm. That's his name, Steven.
It's going to bother you now.
All right, guys. Let's everybody have a good one. And Bill, should I talk about our plans of what we're going to do next Saturday?
No, let's keep them hanging.
All right, we're going to keep you hanging, everybody. I'm going to go play some Batman Arkham Asylum or something. maybe not. It's kind of late. I'm tired.
I'm going to go steal some copper.
Nice. That stuff's good.
Wear your sneakers.
All right, everybody. See you later. Woo-hoo!
See ya.
Bye. Finish your ginger ale and get out.
Seek libation to wash taste of shit from mouth.
Now this is podcasting.
Look who's
Cheese here.
No!
Pickle cheese.
Why does everyone think I'm a creep?
None of your business.
This is garbage.
Are you kidding me right now?
Hey, how you doing?
Uh-oh, fart.
Makes me violent.
And here are the results.
Hey, man, let's pee.
Oh, my God. You guys are creeps.
Fucking shit.
We got a turlet bowl.